talk to you a little bit. The word of the Lord. Some great, wonderful things is taking place. And I know, you know, when we hear those things, I know we believe them. But then I wonder as to what strength we really believe them in. Because sometimes we have a tendency to believe, but not very strong. And we should believe with all of our heart. The Bible teaches we're to love the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. To love the Lord with all of your mind means you don't have time to think on anything else. Think about that now, before I make reference to the scripture here. When you love the Lord with all of your thoughts, that means you don't have any thoughts for anything else. All of your mind, not part of it, but all of it. No matter how much you try to give to God, if your mind, that's not sufficient. You might think, well, I do more than somebody else, and I think on him more than somebody else. That's still not sufficient. See, the Bible said we're to give our bodies a living sacrifice. That means everything within us. To love him with all of our mind. To love him with all of our mind means to cast down imagination. Bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ. And to love him with all of our strength means we don't have time to give our strength to anything else. We don't have any measure of our strength to give to anything else. I know someone would say, well, Brother Pike, if I do that, then how can I make a living? You're not supposed to try to make a living. You're not told to try to make a living. You wasn't born to try to make a living. Somebody said, well, I got to have a job. I got to eat. The serpent is on his belly. All of his labor is for his mouth and his belly. Why then should you seek labor if it's for the mouth and for the belly? Why should you do that? It's the proof of the serpent. It's the proof of your intellect. It's the proof of your human reasoning. When God took them out of Egypt, they didn't have industries. They didn't have anything. They just done what they were told to do. They didn't have medical cures. They didn't have anything. Their feet didn't swell. They had everything that they needed. God took care of them. He fed them. When God put them in the garden, they didn't have anything that they were supposed to do except what he told them. And God provided. When Noah got ready to build the ark, the great task of building the great and mighty ark, Noah didn't look for any material. He didn't try to cut any trees. He didn't try to do anything. He just done what he was told. And the Lord, he supplied the material. And when he got ready for the beast to come in, he didn't go trapping. He didn't go look for them. God led him into the ark. So it's up to us to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. For the Bible said the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments, not to labor. So to seek God and his kingdom, and all of the other things will be added unto you. And I will make you to ride upon the high places of the earth, make you rich, add no sorrow. Give you the desires of your heart if you'll delight yourself in me, and you'll lack no good thing. So we love him with all of our heart, and we don't have any affection for anybody else, anything else, our visage, our form, our faces, clothing or money, or anybody else, just him. That's all. Love him with all of our heart, with all of our mind. And we'll give him all of our strength from early morning till night. When you do this, then you'll be walking in the light as he's in the light. You'll love one another, and you will have fellowship one with another. You won't be grumpy. You won't be finding fault. You won't be causing division. You won't be going your way and doing your thing. You won't be judging another man's servant. But you'll be loving him, and you'll be loving one another. And then that's the proof of your eternal life. See, so let's do it God's way. Like the song we wrote, let's do it God's way. All right, I know that didn't set well this morning, I can tell already. going to the book of Revelation, the 5th chapter, the 1st verse, making reference back to it. And in the right hand of him that sat upon the throne, there was a book written within and sealed on the backside with 7 seals. If you've got your Bible, you can read it. Now, we've made reference to this a number of times, and we could go on making reference to it until the Lord comes, because of the volumes of things that this covers in Revelation. And though I've referred to it a number of times, I've hardly scratched the surface in it because I go off on another thought, and we tie a thought in and another thought, and we don't really get to expound concerning the book, and probably won't this morning. But anyway, it's a good root for what we're trying to do, because it has to do with the book of redemption, and redemption has to do with all of eternity. So then all that God ever done, this book has to do with it. And within the radius and confines of this book is the great Almighty God, and all that he ever done, or all that he ever will do, or all that he is doing right now. So then we make reference to this book because it has great significance. And I refer to the book of Revelation as the revelation of Jesus Christ, because the Bible says it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, we do not get very much from God as a people. With all of the 20-something years that we've ministered, even in this one place, and of course during that time going into the world and going into the different places to minister around through the nation and across the world. But being here with you at least 20-something years, trying to minister to you in the time when we are here, and when we can come together, not only in the sanctuary, but everywhere that we meet, we talk daily. Like yesterday, by daylight, I was already moving around outside to minister to a group, and then another group under the tent later, and then another group over the evening, and another group about night. And I'm constantly ministering day and night. A preacher is not somebody that meets you on Sunday morning to say some kind of Bible story and tell you a few Bible stories and a few things just to soothe your conscience and to make you feel better, and to get some song leader and music to make you feel better, that you can feel the rain coming down on the tare as well as the wheat, and make you feel better and feel like everything's all right, because it isn't all right just because you feel those things and come to church and hear the Bible story. See, but he is one that ministers day and night, like the apostolic leaders when they were on the move from morning till night. And like Jesus, it was on the move from morning till night. They eat, they drink, they slept. They incorporated this in their lifestyle, their every thought, their every endeavor, their every effort, everything that they'd done, every thought that they thought was Christ and God. And it was their lifestyle. It was all that they ever done. And the early church, all that they ever had, they sold it and laid it down at the apostles' feet and didn't go out seeking anything else, but broke house, bread from house to house with singleness of heart, worshiped together as one group of people. And all day long, from early morning till night, they had nothing on their mind but God. So the Bible says, meditate in his laws day and night. We're the kind of people in the days of the Gentiles that we seek after money and labor and jobs and fame and popularity and businesses and all these kind of things. Jesus warned them one time, and he said, salvation is of the Jews. Said, but the Gentiles seek after all of these things, such as houses and land and money and wealth, comforts and convenience and clothes and faces and position and popularity and fame and all these kind of things. He pointed out, said, this is the way the Gentiles are. This is all they want, something natural. Ball games, they want to be in the Olympics, they want to be in the races, they want to go vacationing, they want to see the sights, they want to go to the different little towns that's got all the frivolousness of this thing of nothing and just sporting around and lasciviously using up the days of grace. And this is their way of life, and they want securities and they want benefits, and they want to make sure they got a little money in the bank and a vacation house over here and a couple of cars and everything convenient, telephones and furniture credit and everything that life can afford. This is what they want. They want education. They want their children to have that. That's their way of life. See, this is the Gentiles. They're on their belly. It's the old serpent that eats, drinks, revels, parties, going to bars. I think about our girls that are women that's got children that will leave them and go off and leave them by themselves or put them in the hands of a babysitter to go to bars. Pardon my expression, if it don't sound right, they ain't fit to pick up out of the streets. They don't even deserve the title human beings, let alone mother. Even the title woman, they're not even fit for that. And men that will promote that and allow for that and lead women into that, they are not fit. They're not fit to be called fathers. They forfeited their right to father. And they that are men that won't work and make a living for their family and feed their little ones, they're not fit for the title father. That makes the woman work and make the living while they lounge around and do nothing and maybe go to the job once or twice a week. And all these young men that have grown up, that's done got past their teens, that's running around here to the bars and drinking and lounging around and doing the things they're doing, they're not fit to be called a human being. They are a reproach to the human family. Not only that, but you teenagers, young boys and girls, even though there's a little compassion from God towards you because you're developing, and He'll be merciful as to what you know, but knowing what you know in the day that we're living in, you are in for a horrible nightmare of a life. You'll be living with a prostitute while she lives with a whoremonger. And you'll be in all kind of derision of every kind of disease and every kind of sorrow. And you'll ruin your name and wreck your home and wreck your life and your children and everything else. And you'll be in poverty all of your life or compromising to get riches and wind up in prison or the electric chair or wind up being pulled out of a wreck or die in a horrible state of mind somewhere in the insane asylum or somewhere in great derision as to the problems that you'll have in your body all the days of your life. And God said, I'll cast your children into a bed of adultery and burn them with fire. Something comes to my mind while I'm talking. A little thing that I heard of one of the counties nearby. And that is that they had the Olympics coming in and that I think it was volleyball, and I might be wrong with that. I don't know. Some kind of ball that was supposed to go in there, and the Olympics had granted to them like it's some great thing, you know, if you'll let this come into your town. Of course, it means money. Money answers to all things. They could care less about decency. But anyway, all this filth coming in, what they call it Olympics, but the title of it is filth of the flesh. So then they was to bring it into the county, and because they had a conflict concerning this thing of sodomy, then they didn't want to bring it in because of some complaints that was turned in. And they said that the commissioner got up and said, we have made a resolution and we're going to stand by it. Said it doesn't matter about the ball, game, the Olympics, whatever. We're going to stand by our agreement and not going to allow for sodomy in this town. Now, in the early days, I understand Connecticut was a death penalty. Of course, in the early days, as to the Bible, it was a death penalty. But nevertheless, though God had them stoned to death, yet they go on practicing this filth, knowing what they're doing. They still say that they're Christians and all these kind of things. Well, they said that his daughter stood up after he said what he did, made herself public, and said that she was also one of those among the lesbians and this kind of thing. Said it didn't faze him. He stood up following and said, it doesn't matter what my daughter said, it will remain the same. Let's give him a hand in God. To me, that's a real backbone. That man needs to run for president. So we need to write him a letter of commendation, as my wife said, and let him know the ministers everywhere ought to write him and tell him what they admire in him as great manhood. That was the way Abraham was. He laid his son on the altar. Some of you, if you'd lay your sons and daughters on the altar and stop compromising with the filth that they bring into your home, then you'd be a great person too. All right. So then, Bethlehem should produce great people, mighty people, people that don't compromise for mother, people that don't compromise for daddy, people that don't compromise for wife, for husband, for children, neighbor, friend, money, prestige, whatever, but people that stand for God, just God alone. That's what we need to do. All right. So then, we're here this morning to build great people of Bethlehem, leaders around the world. Let them be the example. Let them set forth the pace. Let them decide the curriculum of life. And in this, to be a light and bring back that of the great, wonderful virtues of the early frontier days when America was a great nation, when she feared God and when she had morals and when she had decency. And when ladies conducted themselves like ladies in their thoughts and in their daily activities and in their dressing and had their minds on motherhood and on their darling little children and little family and that labored in the fields and worked together and where men were real men that had their minds on their wives and not running around like whoremongers and looking for a bottle of wine. See, back when they were great, mighty men. Somebody says, well, I know people back there that were drunkards. I know, but we're not talking about drunkards. We're talking about mighty men. Just because you want your mind on drunkards, that's you. We're talking about great, mighty men and women. So, in this, we're grateful to have some of them at Bethlehem, and I wish we had more of them, and I wish more of them at Bethlehem was this kind of a woman and kind of a man. But I know we don't have a lot of them, but we do have some of them. And we're working to make them greater and to come into a greater thing, to be a greater people, to where one man married to another woman isn't going around with his mind on the other man's wife and thinking about his chance to get her. And some woman is not in the same shape as toward another woman's husband. But that they love one another and their minds is on God and they love God. And they love one another with a God love. And they labor. And when they labor that they might have to give as doing all things unto God that they might be blessed in their deeds, seeking the kingdom that he might add everything that they need unto them. And when they seek understanding or they go to try to find knowledge, they don't go after the old tree of knowledge out to the world in the houses of prostitution. But like Abe Lincoln, when he sat by the fireplace and studied, maybe partially put his eyes out, I don't know. But anyway, when he didn't have much light and read and studied to try to learn how to legislate to the extent of people's rights and to help people have life and make life wholesome for them and know how to conduct himself among the people to be an example and to set up things as some of the proclamations that he set up to worship God and to give him glory and to follow his leadership, as the Bible said, to acknowledge the word of the Lord in all of your ways that God might direct your path. And it's men like Washington that was found in the snow pleading his cause with God until the angel appeared to him, begging God to spare his people and not let his soldiers die and to give him victory. That's real manhood. And that's real dignitaries. And those are the people that are real celebrities to be admired and not a bunch of Olympics that's running around wallowing in the mud, screaming and going on and full of prostitution and women that are dancing that's full of whoremongers, but great women like Washington's wife and those that stood with them in the days when they were setting a real frontier and being a real example. Those are the kind of people we need. The rest of them, God's going to push them off of his table. He said they're all religious vomit. And he said, they're lukewarm, and I'm going to push them off of my table. And I'm going to clean my table. All of my tables are filled with vomit, he said. And God said, I'm going to get rid of the vomit, and I'm going to get rid of the generation of vipers that labor to feed their mouth and their belly. And this generation of vipers, he said, that can't escape the damnation of hell because they will not listen at the warnings that I give or the judgments that I bring upon the people. And he said, I'm going to clean the earth of it, and I'm not going to allow one of them to remain alive. I'm going to make their blood run to the horse's bridle, and I'm going to leave my decent ladies, one that can be called a lady, she's referred to as the church, and one that can be called a gentleman, that's referred to as a typical thing of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to leave the body of the Lord Jesus Christ and leave my own body of bone and flesh of the woman that's called the church, and all the rest will be dead and in hell. I will not allow one of them to remain in the earth. And I'll pursue the wicked till they perish from off of the face of the earth. And every nation that forgets me, I'll turn them into hell. And all ye that forget me, he said, beware, for I'll tear you into pieces. So it's very obvious that he's doing just exactly that. He's turning them into pieces, plane wrecks and train wrecks and car wrecks and devastations of great turmoils of the elements and of diseases and cutting them to pieces with doctors and everything else. And he promised to do it. And he said, not only that, but you might make billions of dollars, but I'm going to blow on it. It's going to come to nothing. And the cyclones are beginning to blow, and he's tearing up things, and billions of dollars are lost year after year because he's blowing on it. He don't like it. It's all under the curse, and he's doing away with it. And will you make much and you bring it home, he said, I'll blow on yours, and it'll come to little because you let my house lay waste. That is, you don't have me in your body, and you don't have me in your heart. You are the temple of God. And because you defile that temple, I'll destroy it, and I'll blow on everything that you've got, and you'll put it into the bags with holes in it, and you'll ever be working and buying and spending, and in the end, you won't have nothing but diseases and heartaches and doctor bills and problems and all these other things of sorrow of heart and oppression of mind. And everything that you do, I'll curse it to the fruit of the womb, and your children will wind up being cripples and being freaks, being all kind of things. And I'll blow on everything you've got, and I'll curse you in the field, and you'll be cursed when you come in, and you'll be cursed when you go out. And I'll shut the heavens up till they become brass over your head. Or we could say he'll send floods until he drowns and destroys and tears down until he's satisfied. And the Bible said he won't be satisfied until he shakes the heavens and the stars fall out of heaven. Paul said, seeing that the mountains shook with fire in the days of Moses, God said, once again, I shake the earth, but not only the earth, but this time I shake heaven. Thus signifying that those things that can be shaken will be shaken, and there will nothing remain except that which is stable enough to where you can't shake it. And right now we're in the great shaking. The curse is everywhere. Everything is cursed. And we're now in the great shaking, and people are shaking everywhere. They're trembling and shaking. And everywhere they're in a derision and in a great dilemma, and they're nervous, and that's why they're turning to dope, and that's why they're partying, that's why they got their wild music. They try to drown it all out, but on the inside they're nervous and they're shaking, and they don't know whether they're Christian or whether they're not Christians. They don't know whether they're going to heaven or whether they're not going to heaven. They don't know whether they got cancer or whether they haven't got cancer or some disease. Or whether they haven't. They don't know whether they're going to live to be an elderly person or whether they're going to die in their youth. They don't know whether they're going to get killed as they drive along the highway or get killed in a plane crash. They don't know what's going to happen. They don't know whether they're going to have enough to eat or not to eat. They don't know whether they're going to be in pain and misery. They don't know what they're going to spend their life in. They don't know whether they're going to have enough to pay their bills or not, or whether they can keep their car and their home or not. They don't know whether IRS is going to put them in prison or not, and they're shaken. And everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. But them that have God, they are not shaken. They are not moved. They are not wondering. They don't have an experience with God as the rain on the just and the unjust, but they have this great, wonderful, deep-rooted understanding of God, whereas deep down in their soul and deep down in their heart, they've got this thing so rooted and so deep that nothing can shake them. David said, "Evil tidings shall not trouble me. Nothing will move me." Paul said, "None of these things move me." God will shake everything that can be shaken until he shakes the stars out of heaven. And in Matthew 24, when he talked to the Jews and they said, "Tell us of the end of the world and tell us when these things are coming," he said, "I'm going to tell you." And he began to tell them, and he told them of the signs of the end times and the earthquakes and the famines and the pestilence, which we're already seeing. He said, "And there'll be wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. The end is not yet," he said. But then he went on to tell them about these things. And speaking to Jews, he made it specific. He said, "And when you see these things happen, and all these troubles and all these pestilence throughout the entire world and throughout all nations," speaking to the Gentiles as well as the Jews. And then he said, "In the gospel gone to every creature," he said, "then shall the end come." And then specifically speaking to the Jews again, he said, "And when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, the place it ought not, then shall the end come." And he went on to tell them all these things in Matthew 24. And then when you go to the book of Revelation and you read where this book was taken here as to Jesus or the Lamb opening this book, then he began to loose these seals. And as he began to loose the seals, right on down to the sixth seal, finally he got to the sixth seal. He said, "And the heavens turned dark as sackcloth of hair," or John did. "And with this, there was a great earthquake. And with this, the Bible said, the heavens rolled back like a scroll. And with this, the Bible said, the stars fell from heaven as a fig tree, shaking her untimely fig when she is shaken of a mighty wind." And so with all of these things, he said, the rich men run for the caves, and the mighty men and the kings and the poor man and the bondsman all run for the caves and dens, and said, "Hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to abide or stand?" And so then, looking at the book of Revelation and seeing this book of Revelation, we find out at the very time that this book of Revelation comes to pass, as to the tribulation period, the last week of Daniel, the very moment that that sets in, the Lord appears in heaven and the stars begin to fall and the Lord calls for the church and the church goes out. Just like that, the great earthquake sets in, everything can be shaken. And the Bible said the islands are moved out of their places and the mountains are moved out of their places. And the great sign of the Son of Man appears in heaven and the moon becomes his blood. And the Bible said all of the tribes of the earth begin to mourn when they see the sign of the Son of Man, for they know it's the great day of his wrath. Paul in his revelation said, seeing this is going to happen, that if the casting away of the Jews be the reconciling of the world, what will the receiving of the Jews be but life from the dead? And knowing these things and knowing they're right here upon us, then the question arises, why aren't we doing something about it? What's wrong with us? Why are we just like we've always been and we're still going on doing the same thing, going hard after the dollar, hard after money, and hard after these things? You say, "But Brother Pike, we're trying to get money to do something for God." You know you're not telling the truth. You're trying to get money so you can do something for yourself. All the world is after money to do something for themselves. If there was after something to do something for God, then they'd put it in God and they'd get away from their zeals and their ambitions of doing their own thing. And they'd put it into feeding little orphans, and they'd put it into helping widows, and they'd put it into winning souls and pulling people out of the fire and hating the garment of the flesh that's sinful and that's spotted with iniquity. And they'd get down to business and they'd conform to one word, even the word of God, one leadership, even the word of God, and one way of life, even the word of God and acknowledge the Lord in everything is to the Word of God. And everything they go to do, it'd be the Word of God. Everything they talked about, it'd be the Word of God. Everything that they thought in their thoughts would be the Word of God. Every drive that they made would be the Word of God. Their whole lifestyle would be the Word of God. And they quit wondering about this thing about, well, do I do this way, or am I supposed to have a little time of my own? I'm going to do the things of the Word of God, but I want a little something for myself, and I want to do a little something for myself, and I feel like God wants us to have a little leisure over here and a little time of our own, and He wants us to do our own thing. God doesn't want you to do your own thing, never at any time. The devil wants you to do your own thing. Everything that's carnal is under the control of the devil, and all that you do in the flesh, all that you do in the natural is carnal, and it's the carnal mind that's enmity with God, and it's under the curse. And the only thing that you can have of it and please God is that you go by the Word of God and follow the Word of God in every way, and let God add unto you everything that He purges and cleanses through the blood by the Word of God or the mind of Jesus Christ. And if you don't come by that route, then that means that you didn't make it. That means that you didn't please Him. And if you go any other way and stumbling and staggering around because you haven't matured to the understanding to know that this pleases God, then you're counted as children. You are accepted, but you're counted as children from the lack of your development and not knowing. But the day that you come to the knowledge of any measure or proportion of this Word or of the mind of God, it is required of you to the fullest extent. And the Bible said that servant that knew to do his Lord's will and did not do it shall be beaten. Not just beaten, not just going by the whipping post. He said, but I'll beat you with many stripes. He said, if you know to do what I tell you to do and you don't do it, he said, I'll make your sickness of a long continuance and you won't be able to get loose from it. And I'll whip you with many stripes. If you are a servant and you don't know to do the Lord's will, I won't let you get by because you should apply yourself. But I will beat you with few stripes. Your correction will be with few stripes. So I'm telling you, you people that have been tutored for 20 years, you people that hear my voice is coming from the sanctuary here on tape, film, whatever it might be, booklet, whatever, wherever you might hear it or read these things, you that have been in religion for many years and belonging to religious denominations and walks of life and still going on with your frolic and your Olympics and your ball games and watching movies and going out to the beaches, you will die and go into a lake of fire. You will die. Somebody said, don't say it like that. Say, Brother Pike, they might. There's no might about it. They will go into hell. All nations that forget the Word go into hell. And when you do those things, you've forgotten the Word, and God will turn you into hell. Somebody said, well, don't preach so strong, and we'll go along with you. I'm going to preach stronger and stronger. Only they that can make this grade will go along with me. This is a high hill to climb, and it takes power to the thrust to get to where we're going. And only the righteous shall have it. Only the preordained shall have it, and only them that can endure this thing as the suffering of the mind of Christ and the sufferings of the body of Christ will be partakers in this. And when we finish, many shall try, but when we finish, there'll be very few that gets in here. Many shall drop off, many shall drop out, many shall turn away. And the Bible said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Their love toward God will drift more and more and more and more. They'll get more worldly and loving the things of the world and replacing the things of God with the things of the flesh more and more, because Satan is to their intellectual mind save as the things that be of the flesh. So then we're telling it like it is. Let's tell it like it is. You will go to hell. You Bethlehemites here that live on the campground, there's numbers of you Bethlehemites that's on this campground. You are going to hell. You mark it down, write it on your calendar and your book, wherever you want to. I've already seen it, and you are going into the flames of hell. And there ain't nothing in the world can change that unless there is a divine act from God, and that divine act from God will not not come until you turn in the right direction. It's a sovereignty. You're allowed to turn around, if you will. But even if you turn around because of what you've already done year after year and day after day in the negligence toward these things I've instructed you in and went along as smooth as butter, trying to be what you call a Christian, live on the campground, and never really getting deeply involved in Christianity or the spiritual things of God, just being a drifter to drift along, just to want to be the average person, to do the average thing, and just to be a good fellow and a good woman, just to be a light, as you call it, you are going to answer to God for that, because that is a waste of God's time and a waste of God's substance. And it goes back to where Jesus said, I give talents unto certain ones, and I'm expecting a utilization of these talents and skills, and I'm expecting you to put this as my money to the exchangers, that I might have something by usury when I come. And if you don't, and if you do like the one that I gave the talent to that hid it in the ground and just said, I'm going to be a good fella and I'm just going to keep what I got and I ain't going to bother nobody and I ain't going to get involved and I'll listen a little here and there. He said, I'll appoint you your part with the hypocrite. And though you do have something, I'm going to take it away from you. And I'm going to give it to the others that had enough zeal to get out here and put their strength and their talent and their youth and their desire to the exchangers to try to win a soul and be something at my coming, to try to take part in the things and be active in the things of God. I'm going to give that talent to them, and I'm going to rob you of that talent, and I'm going to turn you into hell. And remember that. I don't care if you're a singer, if you're a musician. I don't care what kind of talent you got as to an ability in your life. He said, I'm going to strip you down, that when I put you into hell, you won't take one talent with you. Now, somebody said, what is this? This is the gospel. So, what is there left to do? You need to change around. You need to get right. Now, to you that are the good ones that live on the campground, and my best people that live on the campground, this I want to say to you. You have at last got started. You haven't really done anything yet. You've at last got started, and the thing to do is rise up and now do something for God. Because the greater part of what you've done since you've been on the campground has been for your own labor, your own house, your own self. And the greater part is money that you've spent and things that you've done with your strength and your talent and things that you've thought with your mind and the affection that you've had with your heart. And all of these things have been for you. And out of that, there's a fragmental thing. What is God then requiring of us, Brother Pike? What does He want? The Bible said, who hath resisted God's will? He does what He wants to. But the Bible said, nay, O man, who art thou that sayest to him that hath made thee, why hast thou made me thus? Doth not the potter have power over the clay? He can destroy it. He can make it into a vessel of honor. He can do what He wants to with it. You can't do anything. You can't fast. You can't pray. You can't believe. You can't do nothing to get to Him. It's Him that showeth mercy and grace. But if you be humble and humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, if you have the fear of the Word as to God and have the fear of the Lord and have reverence with humility to what God wants to do, and if you tremble at His Word, He said, I'll give you riches, honor, and long life. So, with this, what can we do? You're just now getting started. You're just now getting your eyes open. You're just now coming to the place to where you realize that what God wants and what God demands is every bit of you, from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. Every bit of you, every one of your thoughts, every deed, all of your strength, all of your affection, all of your mind. And that means you're just now beginning to get your eyes open to see your goal and your targets. And if you don't set your goal and target for that, according to your measure of understanding, He will cut you off. If you go all of your life and then you stop, then that means that you're cut off. And the Bible said, this servant that I find feeding my people, talking to them about God, always in a Christian frame of mind, always though tired and weary in body, whatever you might be, laboring to do something for God to help win a soul, said, if I find you doing that, when I come, if you're doing that, I'll make you ruler over all that I've got, for that's my pleasure. But if this servant, though he's been doing these things that pertain to godliness, if all of a sudden he decides he wants to retire, he wants to have him some security, he wants to have a little bit of his own life, he wants to have his own little family and do his own little thing, and he turns around to do that, and he leaves his gold and he fails to continue fully to do these things every day, every hour, every moment, every second for Christ. And then he turns away to his own thing. And then he gets a little bit rude and he begins to speak out too strong and too haughty and smite his fellow man and his servant. He said, I'll come in a day when he's not looking for me, and I'll appoint him his part with the hypocrite, and there'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. I'll throw him into the fire, Jesus said. So then we see these things and we realize these things. What can we do? The gold is to be the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. In him I find no fault, Pilate said. In him he was the perfect one. His body, his cells, his brain, everything about him, to the pulsation of his blood stream or the beat of his heart, was godly and holy, and there was no fault in him whatsoever. And that's what we're ordained to. Now, are we moving toward that? Are we making an effort toward that? Aren't we just coming to church and singing and clapping our hands and doing the things that we're doing and just hearing a little bit of the gospel? And then we go our way. And like I told some of them yesterday, I said, folks, I said, let me tell you something about the brotherhood. I said, when a man don't come around to these little meetings where the brethren gather together and have no desire to come to them, he is not born again. Did you hear what I said? I said, he is not born again. Somebody said, but he's on the campground, Brother Pike. He's a nice fella. I don't care if he is. He is not born again. He doesn't have the nature of Christ. And to be born to the Spirit is to have the nature. To have the nature is to be born to the Spirit. And if you're not born to the Spirit, your eyes of understanding never come open and you never see the kingdom of God, let alone enter into it. See, you never even see it. God is to have the pure in heart for you to even be able to see the kingdom of God. The Bible said, in the pure heart, pure in heart shall see God. Or that is, he purifies the heart with faith and with the nature and with the Spirit of God. And then your eyes of understanding come open and you see God. He is a revelation. He is a spiritual revelation. And so if you don't have a pure heart, then you never see God. You never see God. The Bible said, they that have sinned, they are of the devil. They've never seen God. They've never been born again as to the inner man. They've never had their eyes of understanding open. They are blinded by the intellectual darkness of their own conceit and human reasoning and human ego and desire. See, and on the inside they have the love of the world and the love of the flesh and the love of passions and wanting to be with their wife and wanting to be with their children, wanting to be with their mother, their father, their relative, wanting to ride and buy and sell, laugh, talk, wanting to be around to where the flesh is free just to talk, whether it's religion or whatever, and never want to hear when the Bible said faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word, and the word by them that God has sent to preach the word. And without the preacher, there's no word. Without the word, there's no hearing. Without the hearing, there is no faith. And without faith, there is no salvation. For it is impossible to please God without faith. The heavens declare his handiwork, and the earth is full of the knowledge of God. So when we see this and we get down to what the world calls the nitty-gritty, then we say, well, my God, this thing is so different from what they preach in churches. This is so different from what we've heard. This is so different from what we thought. This must be the right way. Folks, this is the right way. There ain't no might about it. This is the right way. Not only the right way, but the only way. And the only way that it's ever been, and the only way it's going to ever be. There'll never be another way. There'll never be another message. This is the message. So then it's up to us to get in and go on with it. and be part of it, and it should be spread throughout the world to correct the disorder of hundreds of millions of people and so many multiplied preachers. It needs to go forth that they might be corrected. Somebody said, well, I think they've got it too. Well, that's fine. Go join them. If you can, help them take it. Help them take it. That'll be fine. That'll be fine. In the meantime, you that believe that this is it, you stay with this. And as I started to say, and I said, those that are not spiritual, they don't have God. God is a spirit. Paul said, I would that you were spiritual. I'd like to speak unto you as unto spirituals. And Jesus said to the woman at the well, God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit, and they must worship him in truth. Going around joking and telling little jokes and laughing and saying things off color and going along with foolishness. Your thoughts of foolishness is sin. And doing these things proves that you need to be born again. Somebody said, well, I just say these little things, but I still have God's spirit. You know that you're lying. His spirit couldn't be in you. I said his spirit couldn't be in you. Somebody says, well, Brother Pike, it's in me, but I just got a little foolishness. No, he isn't in you, period. He isn't in you. If you had him, you wouldn't have no foolishness. You'd be sober. The Bible said, be sober. Be vigilant, for thine adversary, the devil, goeth about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he might devour. If you had God in you, you wouldn't be doing the things that you're doing. Somebody says, well, Brother Pike, I want to give to God. I want to do for God. And I'm willing. I'm always trying to think about how to get something to the poor. That don't have anything to do with it. The Bible said, give your body to be burned. That don't profit you nothing. Unless you have charity, you're like sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And God is love. God is love. He doesn't want us to be sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. He wants us to be filled with love. God is love. And love is just not trying to get something over the hill to somebody that's hungry. You can have all kinds of motives. You can be that way and not be spiritual at all and have no interest in spiritual things, and you'll still die and go to hell. In this world, you'll get rewarded for those things, even if you give as much as a cup of water, but it will not bring you salvation. Jesus didn't say if you give to the poor and these things that that made you right with God. The world does that. The hippies do that. The Beatles, all those people that got together, they took up money for the poor. See, that isn't it at all. But he tells you that you must be born again. And new birth don't mean that you come and make a confession before preachers and you join the church and you give in the offering and you come and sit on the pews and you sing and clap your hands, or you are a regular attender to church, or you talk about religion. It doesn't mean that. Or you're trying to learn something. That doesn't mean that. It means that you have his spirit. And when you have his spirit, you're born again. A baby that comes into this world, it doesn't matter what his face looks like. It doesn't matter what his feet looks like. It doesn't matter whether it's pretty or whether it's not pretty. It doesn't matter whether it's an animal form or a human form or a bird form or anything that comes into this world. It doesn't matter. The thing that matters is whether or not there is the spirit of life on the inside. Otherwise, it's a stillbirth. Its face may be a lot prettier, as you would say, than a little fellow over here that had the spirit. But the one that had the spirit, that's the one that made it. And folks, when you don't have his spirit, you didn't make it. You're going to have to be born again. And someone would say, well, how do I get born again? What must I do? The first thing you must do is die. If you are not dead from your first birth, you're never going to be born again. See, you can't be born again while you're living. You're already alive. That's what you are. That's what you've always been. That's what you'll always be. There's no born again experience for you. You've got to die. How can I die? Someone says, by the body of Jesus at Calvary. He died. And when you number yourself with him, through repentance and tears and remorse, to hate your life And the Bible said, hate your very life. When you look at that thing that you so love and cuddle and all of your childhood and all of those things and all those things that was carnality and under the curve and the filth that you practiced as a boy and a girl and all of them devilish things that you went through in your frolic that you just kind of commemorate and love and look back at boyfriends and girlfriends and all of your devilish doings and all of your carnality. As long as you do that, you're in this world and you're alive and that's all you'll ever be. But when you think, my God, wretched man that I am, and the poison of asp under my lips and deceit in my tongue and misery and destruction before my eyes and my feet, running to shed blood, and I've corrupted all of my ways. And, oh Lord, all my thoughts are continually evil. Oh my God, who will deliver me from the death of this body? See, then you look toward Calvary in tears and true repentance and not just some little silly confession of saying, I'm sorry, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and I'm a Christian and I know that God loves me. But you'll get down there and you'll kill that body. And when you kill that body, you hate that body and you want to get away from that body. And you're begging God for deliverance. And my God, I'm dead in trespasses and sin. Oh, Lord, come into my heart. And God will hear that remorseful thing. His Spirit will purify you as you believe in His mercy and the atonement of His righteousness. And you get away from your religious walk and the religious thing you're doing and going to church and saying, well, I belong to the First Church and I've been here for 10 years and my mother was a Christian and we all believe this and this is our way of life and we belong to this church and this is our background and our religious thing and I know God loves me, and get out of that hypocritical thing and put that thing behind you like the Jews did. Get away from that more holier than thou and come to God and fall on your face and realize He could care less about your grandmother and your daddy and anybody else that has nothing to do with you. Somebody says, but Brother Pike, doesn't he say that he will visit the iniquities of the fathers and the mothers down upon the children? And he'll bring the blessings of the fathers and the mothers down upon the children? He did. In the Old Testament, he did. But when he changed it in the New Testament, he said it'll never be said again that the parents have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are on edges. Not again will he visit their iniquities down upon the heads of the children. He said, every man shall answer to me, and they shall know of me from the little child to the greatest. He astounded the scribes and Pharisees with this. Have you never read where he's perfected praise out of the mouth of the little ones when they said, Hosanna to the King? So then, you are on your own, and he doesn't care about your grandma. He doesn't care about your background. He doesn't care what your daddy was, whether he was a preacher, whatever he was. You're going to hell unless you repent. Unless you repent, and just repent won't be enough. You got to be born again. And when you're born again, that means you're going to be dead to your outer man, and you're going to have faith in God. And you're not only going to have faith in God, but you're going to have the Spirit. Because it doesn't matter how much you believe, God isn't going to receive you. That's made very clear when the Bible said at the midnight cry, there was a cry given, and the Bible said, this is the bridegroom. Go ye out to meet him. And the Bible said the virgins, all of them, rose up. That's your charismatics. That's those that are not charismatic. That's the Baptists and the Methodists and the Presbyterians. All of these have set themselves apart to be virgins unto God, even the Jews, to be virgins, to be pulled out from the world. And yet they're not virgins. They're hypocrites. They're out there in the world. They're doing everything that the world does. They're dirty. They're filthy. They got on a filthy garment. They've defiled themselves. Bethlehemites have defiled themselves. They're in the same condition. All of the non-denominational churches, the Catholic, all of them have done the same thing. All flesh is corrupted its way before God. And God has laid upon Jesus Christ the iniquity of us all. He was bruised for our transgression, and the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. It's by His stripes that we're healed. So then when we look at this and we realize that, then we know that our repentance isn't worth the time of day. And to be a believer, to be a virgin, isn't worth the time of day, as we say, to set ourselves apart. But the Bible said they all rose up, because when the signs of the time come more and more like that thing that happened to Jupiter and all of these other things begin to press in his famines and hunger, they're going to trim their lamps. They're going to get up and they're going to trim the lamp. They're going to begin to try to put this away as to, well, I won't chew and I won't dip and I won't dance and I won't drink the wine and I won't do this and I won't do that and I'll come out from this over here and I'll be different and I'll be real religious and I'll preach and I'll do this, whatever. And I'll really get into church activity. It won't mean a thing. They'll trim up the branches, but it won't mean a thing. The others have all. They have the great Holy Spirit. They've been born again. They have all. Their lamps will burn. Trimming your week won't do you any good. There's got to be the Christianity spirit of Christ. Christ life. Christ like. You know, we say we're Christians, which means Christ like. There's not very many of us Christ like. We have so much unlikeness of Christ that there's just a tiny bit of space within all of us for Christ's likeness. And to be Christians is so called at Antioch, as that's what they termed it, Christ-like Christianity. So when we think about this, you can trim your lamps, you can do whatever you want to, and they will do it, and all the churches will get real religious, and like Mount Vernon over here, and I don't mean it wrong, the churches started filling up over there. It's still when we come here, there was hardly anybody there. But your religious fervor and your religious activity has so stirred the community and stirred the people in town until they're filling up over there. Trimming the lamps isn't going to be enough. Filling the churches up isn't going to be enough. Having their youth rallies isn't going to be enough. Having their great multitudes and having their tent meeting and people coming and laying hands on the sick isn't going to be enough. But them that have the all, the Bible said at the midnight cry, they arose, they trimmed their lamp, and they lit their lamps. And that little flame that was in there, as the Bible said, and the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching out the inward parts. And he said, you need to do something or I'll remove your candlestick. So then the candle of the Old Testament had to have oil. And so then with this oil, we light our lamp. And then the Bible said these went in and the door was closed and the others came knocking. Open unto us. But he said, it's too late. They said, we went to get all. He said, it's too late. It's too late. See, it's too late. The spirit has lifted. Where do you get all? Won't be anybody that has it except the Jews. And the Jews ain't going to share it with the Gentiles. So it's too late. It's too late. Now, the door is already closed. The door is already closed. What kind of door is that? The door to the Gentile church. It was open at Calvary. I am the door, Jesus said. The veil is rent in twain. And now you got your heavenly season. You got your spirit of grace. You're turning it into lasciviousness with your lavishness and evil. Now the door is closed and the day of the Gentiles is over. And you can't come in now because the Holy Spirit that was poured out at Pentecost will never be poured out again. See, and you've had your opportunity. Now the children are closed in and they took the Holy Spirit with them. And they took the oil with them and they can't share it with you just before. Or you can't share with them just before going into the ark because you only have enough for yourself. There has been a time when it was poured out upon all flesh. Great things happened. People prophesied. Great religious revivals. Healing, deliverance, prosperity. The tower got plenty of water. See, it was poured out on all flesh. But it's narrowing down. It's getting scarcer and scarcer. And now it just takes all that you can do to hold on yourself. You don't feel jubilant in helping anybody. You're under condemnation most of the time in your life. And it seems like you just can't get enough strength to go on because you got just enough for yourself and you can't share it. Give us of your light. Give us of your all. Our light's gone out. We don't have that fervency. We don't have that desire. We don't have the love for spiritual things. We don't have the ego to get up and do something for God. We don't have that drive that we used to have. We're backslid. I'm sorry, but I just got enough for myself. That's what it'll be. See, the other night, I watched when my own natural family came down the altar, as well as some of the others. I hardly saw anybody in this church. with enough love of God, enough zeal of God, enough concern about a soul to get down there and pray with them. When I come to the Lord, there were so many people around me and the church going on and praising God and people all around me and over my head and everywhere screaming and begging God to save my soul and to receive me among the brotherhood and the sisterhood and my wife the same. Until when they got away from us, I felt like I was in heaven. I'd been stirred so much. And for a number of days, I actually felt like I was elevated on a cloud. I just seemed like I didn't come down out of it for a number of days. And I watched, and people commented about that. Afterwards, they said, "Did you see that?" I said, "Yeah, I saw it." Though God was moving, and they were drinking it in, and they were having a good time. But the thing is, they didn't have enough to share with anybody else. See, it's getting late. It's getting late. It's later than you think it is. And the Bible said they went in. Somebody said, "Well, what do you mean, Brother Pike?" I've had them ask this question. What do you mean they went in? I'm going to try to answer it. They went in because they had the revelation. They went in because their spirit was translated into the Christ spirit. They had the spirit of the all, and their spirit was absorbed within the all, as to one all, as to one spirit, as to Christ his spirit, the kingdom of God, in that all things is of him and by him and emanated from him. And our spirit has returned to his spirit, to be one with his spirit within this human temple that belongs to God. And we are in his temple. As John said, there day and night, and to never hunger and thirst again. And they had gone in. By the time that this thing happened, as to the midnight cry, they had already gone in. Folk, they've just about all gone in. Not all of them are Bethlehemite. There's only a few that's gone in. But few there be that find it. Otherwise, your intellectual ego of your human reasoning, thinking that you can outreason the preacher, and you don't have to listen to all the preacher says, and you don't have to give them earnest heed to what he says. You don't have to incorporate this in your lifestyle. You don't have to take heed how that you hear it. You're smart. You're conceited. You have ability. You know. You're a good listener. You've been here a long time. You got it figured out. And so then I listen enough. I know enough. I've got enough. I can work this thing out. But you're still going to do your little thing on the side. You still got plenty of time to labor for the belly. You still got plenty of time to run after the world. Still have time to be filled with the natural ego of your own understanding and to have your own security and to have your own lasciviousness of satisfaction and not really getting the Spirit and not really getting the Word of God and not really being with the brethren and not really loving the brethren, having no concern for the brethren, but trying to get your rest as to your flesh and trying to get your own way and do your own thing, which has always been your practice. Always been your practice. 20 something years since you've been here. You're not spiritual. You're not around the brethren. You're not hungry. You never have been. And the only time I ever get to you, even as a minister, is when I happen to come around, maybe before you go to work, some of you, or early in the morning, and you just happen to be with the crowd, or you happen to be there, and you sit down and listen. And that's about the only time. Otherwise, you're not numbered with this. You're not filled with the Spirit. You are a believer, but though you be a virgin, you still don't have any awe. But the others are going in. They're going in. They see this light. They see this understanding. That's what a light is. And they're going into that light. And they are lighting up with this understanding. Because what that light is, as to that little flame, is the understanding of God. It's the mind of God. And these little candles are being lit because they have the Spirit of God. And the all of God. And the Spirit of God on the inside. Don't make them just shout and clap their hands and sing and act like a wild man. They don't do that, though they might get beside themselves and David and as David and dance before the Ark of the Covenant. That's not their goal. They don't base their experience on that. But in their heart, that spirit comes to light. It turns on like a light within a projector, and that negative mind begins to project, and they see the revelational mind of the great, wonderful things of God. They don't have the exuberance to jump up out there and say, "Oh, I'm going to be a soul winner, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to have people following me, and I'm going to tell them this." And they haven't got that kind of thing. Their spirit, their heart, the seedling of that word, that spirit and life on the inside of them is thriving to get to that understanding. Every day and night, they hunger. They bring every thought into subjection. They meditate in his laws day and night. They don't care about all of these other things like you want. They don't care about houses and land and cattle and homes and prestige and offices and be some celebrity. They don't care about relatives and friends and neighbors. They don't care about money, prestige. They don't care about the things of the world as to the Olympics, the ball games, the races, and Six Flags, and going down to the beach to frolic along in their bathing suits and whatever. They don't care about that. They are not interested in that. They want that light. They want that birthright. They're like Jacob. Let Esau have the rest of it. He sold his birthright for a morsel of bread because he had to do with the serpent. And he was on his belly, and his belly desired it of him. He'd used his strength up out there frolicking around, hunting and going and doing the things of the flesh. And when he finally come to Jacob, he sold his birthright. He, being on his belly, sold his birthright to fill up his belly. And when the time come for the reward, he couldn't get it. Jacob had it and was gone with it. And that's exactly what's happening. These that are the wise virgins, they are getting this light. They're lightening up with this revelational light that's come at this midnight hour. And all of a sudden, the darkness of that intellectual reasoning is pushing back and everything's beginning to glow. They're beginning to understand and they're beginning to see. And that means that the Spirit has entered into his spirit. It has entered into the Spirit. They've heard the call of the Master. And they've heard that last voice, as the Bible said, not the man speaking as to the man, but God. And they heard that last call, and the Bible said, they that hear his voice shall come forth from the dead as in their trespasses and sin, as those graves down there when they opened up and to let the people out during the flood. The great time is here to show that is when I passed over the graveyard, calling for them to come out of the graves, come out of the graves. And it was at midnight when I was calling, and the midnight cry is here, and the call is going forth, come out of the grave. But you're conceited, you're smart, you're brilliant, you've got it figured out. We know you, we know your father, we know from whence you are. You're the carpenter's son, you're the painter's son. We know who you are. You know, we know all about you, and we like what you say, but that doesn't make any difference. You know, we got it all figured out. But nevertheless, they got their visitation and they didn't recognize the visitation. And Jesus said, you've never heard his voice and you've never seen his image at any time. Never. And so then they went in and they were translated into the marvelous kingdom of God as to the new birth. And they were shut in. And they just sat steady till the midnight cry. And this has to do with the last generation of the rapture. Somebody says, well, don't this have to do with all the rest, Brother Pike? Yes, to this extent, that they slept and slumbered before the bridegroom comes, which means they were dead and in the graves and yet not dead, but they were asleep in Christ. Like the songwriter said, asleep in Jesus. What perfect peace. And they were asleep, and at the midnight cry, they lit their lamp. But the others that were in the grave, though they died in their religious fervor, yet they didn't have any awe. They didn't have any quickening. For it is the Spirit that quickeneth. They couldn't come out of the grave. And the wicked dead live not again until the 1,000 years is finished, when God brings them out of the grave to put them into the lake of fire. So then this Jesus said, I thank thee, Father, thou hast given me power over all flesh. And I can lay my life down. And I can take it up. And the Bible says, no man taketh my life from me, as Jesus said. And I can say, as he is, so am I in him. I can lay my life down. I can take my life up, and I will take it back up. See, I will lay it down, and I will take it back up if that's what he wants. And I can rest and sleep if that's what he wants. But I'll awake at the midnight hour when the call comes. If the casting away of the Jews be the reconciling of the world, what will the midnight cry be but the call from sleep? So then when I awake and I'll trim my lamp, and the quickening of that great Holy Spirit as it was with Elisha, when it quickened his bones and brought the dead man back to life, it will quicken my bones and my flesh like fire shut up in my bone. And this made manifest in my mortal genes, even my bone cells. And that quick will arise from the dead and go in to be with him. And the door will be shut and the grace will be gone. It will be lifted and all the world will be in darkness and to gnaw their tongues for pain. But you're too smart to do that. You're too intelligent to do that. You're too brilliant. You're the kind of person that every sermon you hear, you humble yourself like Satan does, the Bible said, to get what he wants. And when you hear the sermon, then you're more conceited than ever, because though you say, well, I didn't have it all, but glory to God, I got it all now. Now I can still resent the preacher. Let's give the Lord a hand. Somebody says, Brother Pike, is anybody stupid enough to do that? They sit right here in my presence and do it. They just got through doing some of it then when I said that. After all of my talk, that's because you're cut off. You didn't get nothing. All you did was reflect it, like I said before. There's just a very few that gets this. A very few. So in the opening of that seal that we'll probably comment more on later, in the opening of that seal, the stars fell from heaven. The 24th chapter of Matthew points to the 6th chapter of the 6th seal of the book of Revelation. And there it was. Jesus said it between the age of 30 and 33, or at 30 or 33 A.D. John in 93 to 96 A.D. on the Isle of Patmos. Those years later, John saw it revealed as a revelation. And now it's come to pass that over here in our day, that revelation is breaking forth to be the actuality of what Jesus said and John saw in the Spirit, now to come to pass. And we're right on the verge of it as I try to instill within your heart the way of escape. Jesus said, I'm the way. No man can come except through this door. Let's stand together. You that love the Lord, you that are the preordained, the Bible said Paul preached, and they believed. The rest of them, did they believe? They cannot believe. Somebody says, what do you mean? All men have not faith. Can they believe as to intellectually? They can believe intellectually. But that doesn't mean a thing. They're just virgins that trim themselves up religiously, but they don't go in. To go in, it means that you are translated by His Spirit into the kingdom of God. To be translated as Enoch was, it's by faith that you're translated in. To have faith to be translated, it means that you have to hear the Word. To hear the Word, you have to hear the preacher. And the Bible said, He that cometh shall speak God's Word if God sent them. And He will cause the people to turn from their sins. That's the proof of Him coming. And their faith will come by the hearing of the Word. And if there's no preacher, there's no Word, there's no faith, there's no salvation. How can they hear without a preacher? How can he preach? Lest he be sent is to bring God's Word. How can you be saved without faith? And then it was translated into the marvelous kingdom of God as the heaven declared the handiwork before the scribe and before God had sent the minister. And so then 300 years it took him to discover, but he discovered and God led him, because he didn't have a minister at that time other than those things that were said, as we're telling you now, as was told from Adam down to Enoch. When we see this, the flood comes. Noah, the flood comes. Everything is closed down. And a new world comes in. So when you're translated in, that's how you get in. And if you don't get spiritual, you don't get translated, because it takes faith to translate you. And it takes faith that comes by the knowledge. And the knowledge is to the understanding. Wisdom get understanding. It's a tree of life. And when your eyes begin to come open, the baby's been born. You're now in the world or in the new world. So then that's the way it is. Unless you die, you don't get it. And the proof that you are dead through repentance by the body of the Lord Jesus is you put on the Lord Jesus Christ, the fifth seal of Revelation, and they had their white robes made white in the blood of the Lamb, which meant Jesus went into the heart of the earth and gave them His body so they could get over Calvary. Things that we might comment on a little more later. But anyway, in the fifth seal. And so it was, they received their white robes, robes that had been tried in the fire when Jesus walked through the fire. And the Lord said, I counsel of you to bring me the raiment that's been tried in the fire. Don't come in here with that dirty garment of the flesh that I hate, hating the garment that spotted with the iniquity of the first birth of Adam. All have sinned. All are corrupt. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Be baptized into this body, not only as a natural body, as into the water, as to the body, but be baptized by the fire that burns the chaffest of the soul, and be baptized with the mighty Holy Ghost as a spirit that translates your spirit into the one spirit of Christ, one faith, one God, one baptism. So then, this is the way it is. I'd like to say we're glad this morning to say that yesterday we had a brother converted, a brother Holman that came out, Dennis Holman, that came out to talk with us and counsel with us there on the porch of what they call the Father's House or the Parliamentary House. And he graciously, freely, very humbly and sincerely gave his heart to God. And God came into his heart. And he had one time been with the Lord and had backslid. And maybe had been a youth leader, I believe. I heard somebody say in the past. But anyway, his folks have a background of loving the Lord. And he wants to serve God. And he's looking for a church home. And he just might make this his church home. He said he didn't have one. And I invited him out. As long as it's a stray, I got a right to put our brand on it. And I don't proselyte, try to take them away from another church. But if they're at leisure and they're just roaming, then we got a right to them. That was the old way in the West. They didn't have fences. And if cattle was born, didn't matter whose herd it was born out of. If you didn't get there in time to brand them, somebody else branded them. That meant they belonged to their herd. So that means that that's the way we work. Someday God's going to tear down all the denominational fences, and the only ones he's going to accept is they that get their brand on them. So we want the brand on them, and as it's been said, it doesn't matter whose brand it is, you're going to have the blood tag. As when the government goes to get their beef or goes to get their cattle, they don't care what brand's on them. The thing is, if they don't see the blood tag, they're not thoroughbreds. But if they see the blood tag, then they'll take them out of any brand and take them right on in for use. But otherwise, they don't do it. Let's give the Lord a hand. Jesus said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. While we're singing and worshiping the Lord, the altars are open. You can think over these things. I'm here to lift up my voice like a trumpet to tell you of your sins and to tell you that Jesus the Word is the way and that he is expressing himself through a vocal utterance from my rusty vocal organs. Ah, they're kind of worn out from preaching so many years and talking so many years and trying to pray day and night for you and for others. But he has sent you mercy, and he's trying his best to reach him. And if you can hear these words and you hear his voice, if you can hear his voice and it's not me speaking, then you can recognize the voice. Otherwise, you'll hear my voice and you won't recognize his voice and you'll remain in your conceit. But when you hear the word as to his voice, it's perfect, converting the soul. The word of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. You that want to be soul winners, and you that go out to preach, and you that want you a church, and you that want to have following, you that want to learn a lot of knowledge to tell people different things, I'm telling you, you'll never win a soul. Spend all of your life as a pastor. Spend all of your life out in the world going and doing whatever you want to do. But you will never be a soul winner. You will never, though you're intellectual, though you're brilliant, though you've been a preacher for years, though you understand, though you are in hostility, though you are in conceit, you've never won a soul in all of your life. You might have had a lot of people to come to the altar, and some might have repented and come to God, but you didn't have no part in it at all. You didn't win a soul. It's not credit to you. You've never won one soul. You never will win one soul because you don't have the Word of God. And when you don't have the Word of God, that means you're not son of God. And when you're not son of God, you don't speak God's Word. And it means that you didn't convert a soul, because the only thing that can convert a soul is the word. I don't care how good of orator you are, how well you place your words, how well you tell your Bible story, and how energetic you get of jumping and hollering and screaming, clapping your hands and singing. It doesn't make any difference. Only the word of God, as he speaks, he himself presenting himself as the word is to his own voice, will go in and penetrate the flesh and the veil of conceit and go in beyond the impenetrable heart and get into the soul and convert the soul. And unless that be so, you can talk all you want to, you can witness all you want to, you can be as charismatic as you want to, you can be as religious as you want to, you can attend church as much as you want to, you can give in the offering as much as you want to, you can dress in long dresses, you can try to be a gentleman, you can do all that you want to do, you can let your hair grow down on your shoulders to the women, and you men can polish your ethics as to the finest kind of religious gentleman, but you will never win a soul. But when you get God, you may be old-fashioned, you may not look good, you may not be handsome, you may not be pretty, and regardless to what age you are, ever how rusty your voice might sound, or how thrilled or young and exciting it may sound, it doesn't make any difference how you might look. If you've got the word of God, you'll convert a soul, and you'll win a soul, and that soul will look for a church home, and that person will come to Christ, and it will be accredited to you that when you spoke out of your innermost sincerity of heart as to a pure heart of cleanliness and pure and non-adulterated thought, will come the lovely thoughts of Jesus, and you will convert a soul, and that soul will say, God is in you of a truth, and I have seen the light. And they'll follow you, and wherever you go, they'll want to follow you, and you'll be a light. The Bible says, put on your garment, your beautiful garment, O Zion, for thy light has come from Calvary. Thy light has come. Arise, shine, for thy light has come. And all of the world shall come to thy light, and the ends of the earth shall come and kneel at your feet, and they'll praise you in a good thing and glorify me within my temple. And they'll know that I'm God, for I shall appear suddenly within my temple as the word of light and understanding and revelation to express myself from within my temple. And all the world shall kneel before me, and they shall see you of a good understanding and be afraid of you because you're called by my name. And though the weapon of your warfare is not carnal, but it's mighty to the extent that the guns will fold up and the bombs will stop and everything will back off because of your word. For you have the word to shut the heavens. You have the word to open the heavens. You have the word to make the sun stand still. You have the word to make the moon stand still. You have the word to make the Red Sea open, or the word to make the Jordan roll back. You have the word to command the storms and command the cyclones, and you have the word to speak against all of this that they call diseases of age and the unconquerable. You have the word to conquer death. You have the word to give happiness and peace. You have the word to make rich and give blessings and to curse, and the word to bring the blessing that will add no sorrow. Ye are the sons and daughters of God that rule and reign with a rod of iron, neither male nor female, in Christ, just the body, as the woman is the flesh of the man, and the man is the flesh of Christ, and Christ, that is to Jesus, the flesh of God, the Spirit made flesh. So, in this, we're all one unit. And this is why that I emphasize the fact that if a person is not spiritual, they are not godly. And if they are spiritual, they'll hunger and thirst after this, and they won't have time to make money and seek advantage and security and want to feed and buy all the time for their family. Right? And women won't be frivolous to run around, buy and go and watch TV and read magazines and do the silly things of the world, to be called a silly woman and run after the things of the world with their frivolousness, and always reason within their carnal mind as trying to figure out something to be a troublemaker and lift their husband up in pride to fix a trap for him by flattering him to get him to always labor to try to feed their belly or to take care of them. And the man will be wise enough not to fall into the trap and listen to flattery out of the fellow man, but stand up for God. And they won't be running around after one shepherd today and another shepherd tomorrow and one doctrine today and another doctrine tomorrow. If you are with one spirit, you are with the man that's got the spirit. And you are not with somebody else unless they got the same spirit. And if they got the same spirit, they'll think the same thoughts and they'll talk the same thing. And the Bible said it's the same people as to belonging to different churches, but the same spirit, the same body, bone and flesh, they'll stand for the same thing according to their knowledge and being seeking. And they'll be found seeking to find more about this. And there'll be one flesh and one spirit. And the Bible said, when I bring Zion again, they'll see eye to eye and they'll speak the same thing and they'll march hand in hand and they won't break ranks and they won't even surmise against the man with the spirit. Because if they do, they're of the devil and they don't belong to God. And if you go with them, you're of the devil. And if you follow them, then you are of the devil. Follow the Spirit of Christ. And whoever the Spirit of Christ is in, follow them. Don't follow them because of their appearance. Don't follow them because of their age. Don't follow them because of their zeal. Don't follow them because of their education. Don't follow them because of their glitter, of their beauty, or of her beauty. Don't follow them because they have power out in the world, or preeminence, or offices of legislation, or look for this thing of the ecclesia, or that of the elite of the world. And the upper echelon, don't follow them because they have advantage and because they're zip, full of zip, and they got lots of strength, and because they seem more alive than anybody else and they're jolly and they look happy. Don't follow them because of the dollar and the things of the world. Follow Christ. Wherever you see Christ, don't follow them because they think they've got a ministry and they're going to get away and they're going to do a lot of things and they're going to deceive you to have them to follow you and cause division in your brotherhood. Don't be a fool and walk off and leave what God has given you through labor and tears that belong to you because somebody scolds you and hurts your feeling and somebody puts you on the outside. Don't be a fool and walk off and leave what you got. It belongs to you. God gave it to you. And don't be a fool and try to boycott and take it into one little group or one little people and shut the others out. Don't be a fool and have God to tear you up and take what you've got and cause you to be in misery and take your life and your children and your health and your happiness and put you in derision that you'll never get out of. Don't do that. Wake up. There's one God. There's one faith. There's one baptism. God has one leadership. That's the Christ Spirit. And whoever it's in, then you follow only the measure of that you see in Him. We are they that have no confidence in the flesh. It don't matter if it's the pastor. It don't matter if it is the deacon. It don't matter if it is some brother. It don't matter if it is some sister. You don't have any confidence in your own self. Paul said, we don't seek to please our own self. Get out of your old carnal mind of reasoning and that filthy mind of evilly surmising against God's daughters and God's sons and God's ministry. Get it out of you, or get out of the church and get out of His presence and run for your life, because He's going to curse you sooner or later. He's going to get as grieved as He can get, and He isn't going to stop next time. He's going to curse you, and then you can leave, and you will leave, but you've already got the sop then. Get out, or get it out of you. It's like I was praying last night. I said, God, these girls that keep running around, these women that's leaving their children, and these girls that keep running to the bars, I want you to break it up. I told you to break up these men, and you broke it up. And you're really behind them with the fire, and you broke it up. Now I want you to break up these women, and you rest assured He will answer my prayer. I've carried them on the wing and carried them on the wing, and they know better. And when they start neglecting their little families to do these things, it's time something was done. All right, so then you find the Spirit of Christ and stay with it. And wherever you see this, you don't lean on your own understanding. The worst person in the world to trust is you. The worst face to admire is your face. The worst body that you could ever adore or care for is your own body. The worst thing you could ever desire is your own ways. It's filthy. It's lewd. It is corrupt. It is the serpent. It is a beast. It is death. Your mind is carnal and death. And that's the worst thing you could do. You are dead. You need to be buried. You're causing a stench already in the land and in the world today. It's a stench to sodomy. It's a stench to fornicators. It's a stench to liars and cunning, crafty people that are conning people. And it is a stench to Olympics and everything that is the filth of the flesh of today. You get away from yourself and you kill yourself and you get away from your mind. As long as you got your thoughts, that's still yourself. Somebody said, how can I kill myself? The body is not to be killed. God is not trying to kill the body. The body is the temple of God, but it's infiltrated with filth. And it's got to go by the way of the death that Jesus set forth as into the flames of hell and into the watery grave. And the spirit has got to go through the spirit of burning to be purged. And you got to submit it by getting rid of every thought, the self-denial, and everything that's contrary to your human desires, that obese ego, and kill out that mind to every thought, to a mind to suffer, and to be exactly his visage and image and desire and his nature and spirit, to be about the Father's business. And then you become the body of the lovely Virgin Mary, and you belong to the lovely Spirit to bring forth his lovely Son for the wonderful wealth and blessings of that glory. He is the hope of that glory within you, from glory to glory, as to faith of the word to word in the mind of the Lord, that you might have this wonderful heavenly treasure of this light on the inside made manifest in your mortal gene to change you to glory. Great is the mystery of godliness. God, the great Spirit, the Holy Ghost manifested in the flesh through a blood cell created in the virgin womb and manifested in the flesh, the Spirit made flesh. And he was justified in the Spirit by faith in the Spirit. He was seen of angels, and he saw angels, and they come and ministered to him. And he was manifested in the flesh as a human form, and we saw him through the eyes of our forefathers. And he was caught up into heaven after being preached to the Gentiles, caught up into glory, and he was preached to the Gentiles. And then he stood on the Mount of Transfiguration and appeared in glory, caught up into glory. And that's what God is trying to do to you, to bring you to the full measure of the full stature of this wonderful eternal Jesus, as to know him in the fellowship of his suffering, that you might also know him in the fellowship of his resurrection. And the fellowship of his suffering means self-denial, to get rid of every thought that you have that is carnal and corrupt, and to have his lovely mind of virtue and the purity, and to get the filth out of your thoughts, every thought that you have contrary to holiness and pureness of your brother and your fellow man is filth. If you think one wrong thought toward him, you have charged the Lord Jesus Christ with that in your thoughts, and you are guilty and will answer for it in the day of judgment. If you look one time on your sister or on your brother not to love them with all purity, you are charged with that in the day of judgment, and you will be turned into hell. Somebody says, well, I don't think God will do that. God is going to do that. Paul said, and God will judge the secrets of your heart by this gospel. This gospel that Brother Pike is preaching. And Paul said, it's my gospel to the Gentile church. If you think that you are spiritual, remember these are the commandments of God. And he said, by this gospel, and if anybody comes with any other gospel, whether it be Brother Pike or Brother whoever, or whether it be an angel, you let him be accursed. So this morning, I'm preaching to you the same Christ gospel that Paul brought to the church. And in the day of judgment, the secrets of your heart that I make mention of here is going to be charged against you if they are the wrong thoughts. As you think in your heart, so you are. Someday, the man that stands on my platform that always judges me, he never stops. Someday, that man is going to be turned into hell. And before he ever makes it that far, he's going to meet God in this life. You'll hear about it. It's coming to pass. If you don't make a radical change, one he's never made as of yet, with all of his effort, he's made some effort, he still hasn't made it. And you know why he hasn't made it? Because he needs to be born again. He doesn't have the nature of the Lord Jesus. He isn't interested in the things of the Lord Jesus. He is interested in the things of the flesh, and he only uses religion on the side. That's all he does. And many of you that come to hear my voice in Bethlehem are like that. And many of you that hear my voice outside of Bethlehem are like that. Many of you that are outside of the covenant are like that. Many of you that are inside of the covenant is like that. And many of you that are lining up in the new horizon is like that. And you're going to find out that whether in the covenant or in new horizon or out of both of them or in the church or just among the brotherhood, whoever you might be out of the three groups or the many groups, you're in that kind of condition. And only a few that's going to be in the covenant, very few, is going to be found with God's Spirit. And only a few in New Horizon. And only a few here and there in the different families. And only a few on the campground. And only a few in the church. And only a few, if any of them among them, the musicians. It would be a very minority. If I have one out of all of the musicians, if I have five out of my congregation, if I have out of the whole campground as a whole, if I have two, it's going to be a great miraculous thing. And you'd better buckle down. I'm preaching to you, 20 years of preaching. Somebody said, well, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I can't help what you believe. I'm telling you like it is. The Bible said out of the billions and billions of people, out of the billions, only a few is going to find it. Can you imagine that? Somebody said, well, how close is it, Brother Pike? It's the Bible. Go to the Bible. He tells you how close. And I say this so often, not to be comical, but as a truth. In the days of Noah, after 2,000 years of reproduction of children, women, men, wealthy, learned and unlearned, how many of them were saved? 8 people. You know why? Because of one man. In the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, with all of the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, how many of them were saved? 4 people. Because of one man, Lot. Or one man, Abraham, that was outside. And when they took 3 million people out of Egypt, how many of them got into Canaan? Only one man, Joshua, that took Caleb in. And he found favor as Moses did. Moses, the one man. So in our day, what can we say? 8 in the days of the flood, 4 in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, 2 in the days of the Egyptian deliverance, and 1 in our day, the Lord Jesus Christ. Out of all of the people of the world, he said, all flesh is corrupted its way. So who did he receive? Who did he use? Not one. He said, I can't find one. No, not one. All of them have gone astray. Every man is doing his own thing. He's got his own program. He's got his own plans. He's turning to his own house. He's running to his own house. He's doing his own thing. My house is laying waste. I don't know of none of them. He started a new blood cell. He brought forth one man as to the beginning of another generation. And as Noah, we all found favor in one. This is as the waters of Noah to me, he said. And we find favor in the new blood cell. Just one, that's Jesus. And if you are not of his family, as to blood of his blood and bone of his bone, you don't find any favor, even as it was as Noah's family. And then when you go back and check it out, you'll find out the blood was on the seat of atonement by the foreknowledge slaying of the lamb, and that the only way that Noah found favor and Joshua found favor and Lot and Abraham found favor, Moses found favor, was by that one man, Jesus Christ. He was the only one. And folks, the Bible said we're predestinated in him. And you can call yourself the predestinated, the foreordained, but unless you're in this word, right here walking and thinking and talking in this word. And as the knowledge and understanding of your development come, every thought to this subjection, you are not predestinated to righteousness. You are foreordained to hell. So then you are predestinated in Him, and in Him we are complete. And in Him we have salvation. And in Him He hath done all the works. In Him He fulfilled the law at every jot and tittle. In Him that took us out from under the law and came to take the Jews out from under the law of works and ritualistics, by doing all of the works and fulfilling it and giving them the spirit of the law, as Paul said, through the revelation, to fulfill the works that they never have that burden again. For it was said, when they sent these things to the Gentiles, we have a yoke upon us that we as the Jews could not bear. Our fathers could not bear it. The law, and no man keepeth it. Why yoke the Gentiles down with this? Tell them to keep themselves from things strangled, from blood, whatever, from fornication, and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and this will be sufficient. Let's give the Lord a hand. While we sing a little chorus together, you can take these words and you can do what you want to with them. It's up to you. It's up to you. I've delivered my soul. Your blood will be upon your own head. Now, and they that were ordained to eternal life believe, and they that were not ordained to eternal life, they didn't believe. So I tell you these things to enlarge your mind, to open your mind. You say, well, I already knew them. Well, you don't need to come here. You don't have any business coming here. You're wasting my time and your time. If you already know these things, you don't need to come here. Go do something for God. Go on somewhere and do something for God. Now, if you're just half cocked like a gun and you know some things and you're vainly puffed up by your flesh and your mind, then you need to get it all straightened out, because you wrest as these things, as some do, to your own destruction, thinking you know something you don't know, something as you ought to know, and that is you need to be dead to your own conceit. So I say this to you, as I said to some brethren in the last day or two. And that is, you come here to college. College, a collection of people, a calling, bringing them all together. I collected you for that purpose, by faith, and not I, but God. And you've come here for that purpose. And as Paul taught in a school for a number of years, I tried to teach you for a number of years. He said, I'm a preacher and a teacher. And he preached repentance to them that needed it outside. He taught the others as a teacher. We know rabbi without a teacher sent from God. Now, in these kind of things, some of you have come sporadically, like children in school. A lesson or two, go a grade or two, drop out. Eat, drink, buy, be merry, do your own thing. Fill yourself up with the things of the world, to buy and sell and ride and laugh and talk, and with the flesh and the lasciviousness of your own life and the gullible desire of your own doings. Now, you didn't come to the classes. You didn't try to be regular. You didn't come to the little tutorings that we had every day, all the time, every chance you got. You just grabbed what you could, and you were so smart in your mind, you didn't need all that anyway. You could figure all that out. You got enough to put it together. You know how to handle it. And with that, you've tried to tell others, and you don't even know yourself. And you've tried to indoctrinate others, and you don't know yourself. And all of you, as to the blind leading the blind, are falling into the intellectual ditch of your own human reasoning, whereas the Bible said, and this darkness hath blinded you on the inside, that your eyes of understanding are never open, that you don't see the light, you don't see the understanding, and all you ever got was enough of it to make you want to have the ego to use it for the world and the riches of the world and the fame and popularity of the flesh, like the evangelists of today and the churches of today, with their ego and social benefit and some kind of celebrity as being the musicians and singers and having places in the church and whatever, and that's all, or having a benefit of the campground, taking advantage, not really doing anything or contributing anything as to your love and strength and whatever toward the cause. You can say amen. It's all right. See, and this is where you're at, and you didn't half get it. You don't half know about it. And you that did get it are barely getting your eyes open. Now, you've got a long ways to go, and you've got a lot of miles to cover. I said that the other day. I said it. I spoke of having a lot of miles of cover, and somebody's spirit rose up like an old wet hen. I said, it's still true. A lot of miles to cover. He said, who are you talking about? Everybody. Somebody says, but I think we're pretty far down the line. Well, bless your heart. I trust that you're at least out of your diapers. Oh, somebody said, that's an insult. An insult? I think it's one of the greatest compliments that's ever been placed upon humanity that you wear the diapers of the baby, like Jesus did when he was a baby. You wear the diapers, just the fact that you can be numbered with him. And let me tell you something, any of you that's so ignorant that thinks you can do any more than that, you step out and let me know it right now. I want to see you. I want to meet you. I want to see you. And I want you to indoctrinate me if you're there. Paul, with all of his many years of submission and studying, and Moses learned in all the ways of the Egyptian, barely scratched the surface. And Paul, then after the years of revelation and given his body, he said, I have not obtained unto it, but this I do, forgetting those things that are behind and pressing forward to the prize of the mark of the high calling in Christ. What is the high calling? To be therefore perfect and to go on to perfection, to be as your master. And somebody says, well, what does it mean just to be a babe? It means to be caught up and rule with the rod of iron. Have you been caught up? Are you ruling with the rod of iron? Just be thankful if you've got the diaper on. And let me tell you something, folks. Einstein, with his greatness, never did get the diaper. He never did get the diaper. Isn't it strange that the one thing they needed when the resurrection of the dead came down in Macon, in those areas, said the thing that we need is water? That's what they wanted in hell. Water, water everywhere, not a drop to drink. And the strange thing was, the thing they needed was diapers. Now, isn't that something? Pray that your flight be not in the winter, nor to those that give suck in those days. And isn't it strange that Macon is said to be patterned after Babylon? And the streets laid out according to Babylon. And when God struck it and showed me the vision as to the resurrection of dead, when he said, come out of her, she's a Babylon. And Babylon is fallen. Babylon the great is fallen. And she's become the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. And isn't it strange that a relative of ours that has a nursery there that come up just before this and set up here, we haven't seen them in years, and said, Macon is the headquarters of all evil. Let's give the Lord a hand. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. You come to be tutored. You come to be taught. Many of you missed your lesson. Many of you missed the wonderful things of God. You're religious. You're still coming to church. Still doing the same little things you've done before. You don't as much as come to the altar. Service after service. And you know why you don't? Somebody says, well, I'm just secretly living for God. You lying hypocrite. Pardon my expression. Somebody says, but don't you know I'm here? I said, you lying hypocrite. Jesus said, rebuke him, didn't he? He said, rebuke him sharply. You lying hypocrite. That's pretty sharp, ain't it? You set back because you don't want to be numbered with them. You know that they dress in their long dresses. And you also know that these men lift up a standard to God. And you don't want to come because you don't want somebody to think that you are numbered with them. And yet you want to come to church and be sure you get in because you're scared half to death that you won't make it because you know this is right. You can say amen or oh me. And you know not only that, but you want to set back because you don't want to really live right. You want to watch TV and watch the filth on TV and go through your little frolics of what you think is all right with God and that God is going to let you by with that and nobody knows, so they can't number you with it because you don't come to the altar. You don't do these things. You are a lying hypocrite. Give the Lord. Somebody say glory to God. I don't think you're alive this morning. I said that's lying hypocrisy. That's right. Somebody said, well, is that all there is to it? No, some of you that wear the long dresses are still lying, thieving, conniving hypocrites. And some of you men are lying, thieving, conniving hypocrites. And not only that, but you're a beast. I saw one the other night that's among you, as far as I know, and he is a beast. I saw him as a leopard. I saw him as something like a leopard or tiger caught in between, and he was a beast, and he was a beast, a brute beast. And he would change back into a human being like he would be among you or among the people. And I saw his daddy as wretched and contrary and as evil as he could be. And his daddy is all out of sorts, and his mother's backslid, and neither one of them born again. That's why a beast comes forth. They've never been born again. They've been among you, but they've never been born again. They watch their little movies on the side. They watch their television on the side. They're working out their own salvation, they say, with fear and trembling. Somebody says, well, I think you're getting too hard, Brother Pike. Well, I'll tell you what, you can indoctrinate me. Would you like to preach after I get through? If you would, raise your hand. We got time. Oh, somebody said, well, I wouldn't stay. I'll stay. You listen to me, I'll stay. I'll listen to you. I'd love to hear what you got to say. If you ain't got nothing to say, then remember what I said. They are lying hypocrites. And not only that, my words sound strong. Let me tell you what Jesus said. He said, you are a generation of vipers, and you can't escape the damnation of hell because you don't take my warning and my word. Now, that's a little stronger than what I said, isn't it? All right. Somebody said, what else is stronger? He turned over the tables. He popped the whip. I don't have a whip except it be spiritual. There's no tables in here except they be spiritual. Is that right? But you still made his house a place of money changers. You're the temples of the living God, and all you've got on your mind is to make money and eat and fill your belly. All you've got on your mind is the ladies, is to eat, drink, and fill your belly. And your mind is on money and what you're going to buy and what your husband's going to make. And that's why that you're doing the things that you're doing. And I'm going to say this, and this ain't going to sit well. God bless a woman that will get out on a job and work to feed her babies when she don't have a husband. And God bless a woman that will get out in the field and labor to help her husband in his job. And God bless a woman that will be a lady. She is a jewel. She is a darling thing. But a shame to a man that will work or do anything in a way not to be consistent and to make his wife a living so she'll have to get out and work. Shame on him. I taught the women should not work and run around after stamps and be a reproach to the gospel, to use their faith and to stand up for God, and God would meet all their needs. And then I find the women all going out to work. Somebody said, well, it's because we can't make it. Well, why don't you stand up and say, I can't make it? Why don't you stand up like men in the services or wherever you are at, in whatever you're doing, and say, I can't make it? Why don't you get an extra job to make it? Why don't you do something to go along with the word of the Lord? Why do you put your wife out? Somebody said, well, that's why I'm out. We can't make it. Well, why don't you go to your knees in prayer? Why don't you tell your husband? Why don't you tell God? Why don't you try to get in touch with God and use your faith and believe in what the preacher told you? You know why you do what you do? A lot of you go out there because you want to be out there. You want jobs out there. You've always wanted to be out there and be a career girl. And you want your own income. And you want to have your own way. And your husband is without understanding because he let you do it. And you're going to rule the house. And you're going to be haughty. And you're going to realize that you're making your own money. And he's going to lose you and control over you. And if it don't come to pass, I'm a liar and the truth ain't in me. As you let her do that and it'll come to pass, you're violating God's word and you're not supposed to do it. It said, let the woman guide the house. Somebody said, boy, you blowed it. Well, praise God, I hope it blows it all to pieces. Anything that does that needs to be blown all to pieces. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, don't you understand that everybody don't have it easy and they have to work? I've never understood that. I've never understood that. I don't read in the Bible where anybody had to work. Adam had to work, or anybody else. until he got among the briars and Eve, when they sinned, wouldn't listen to the word of God. That's the only time I ever read it. I don't read where they had any problem with sicknesses or needed hospitals or anything else with 3 million people, except when God said, you don't do what I tell you to do and I'll bring these plagues on you. Come on, folks. I don't read where they had to have ball games for entertainment, and I don't read where they had to do anything else except serve God. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody said, well, ain't you through preaching? Well, I was till I got to this point, and I decided that since someone wanted to leave, I'd let them preach, and we'd start all over again for the few that's going in. That don't sound good. Somebody said, well, I thought we was going to get to the cafe early, and I thought he was going to dismiss us. Well, I changed my mind until I get ready. That's what we've been doing already. Every night, close the service out. I want to bless you, but not the flesh. I don't want the flesh to get the preeminence. Don't give place to it for a minute. Satan save is the thing that be of the flesh. So then what are you trying to say, Brother Pike? My wife has been with me a number of years. We've been on the field. We didn't have any food. We didn't have anything. Out of that whole time, she decided she was going to go to work. One time, and I'm a real young minister, so she goes up, she gets her job at a store. I think for 1 day or 2 days, I hate the thought of it. I despise her mind in it. But she was trying what she thought was right. It lasted about 2 days. She was taken out of there. And for her to live with me, she didn't do that no more that I remember. See, and let me tell you something. We went, we didn't have no food. We didn't have no income. We didn't have nobody supporting us. We didn't have one relative that took care of us. We were in a strange state, a strange country. We were stranded in all kind of conditions. My children were nigh unto death a lot of times, but God took care of us. He provided us a house. He provided the education, as you call it. He provided everything to stay intact with the law and the ways of God and to grow in favor with man and God. And my wife didn't have to go out and do it. Somebody say amen. Lady, you need to say amen. I said the ladies need to say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, a woman wasn't made to get out there and do that. She was made to guide the house. And you, lady, you remember this. You know what I said about the girls with the bar as the bark flies that leave their children with babysitters and go out? Now, what does God think about you? You are the same in equality with the barfly. You are just as bad and just as guilty. They left to go get the bottle of wine. You left to go get the dollar. Somebody says, but Brother Pine, we had to have the dollar. You're lying. I don't know of one of you that was going hungry. You might have not had what you wanted, but I don't know of any of you that went hungry. Why didn't you ladies band together? Come over here and pray. Why didn't you band together? Call a little woman's meeting, have a little discussion, and then call your husband and say, we want some kind of a conference. We want some kind of understanding. We want some kind of a system. We want to know what's going on, and we want to know why we don't have sufficient. Somebody said, well, why would we not have sufficient? Because of you and him wasting your substance. And God not multiplying the fishes of the Lord by not walking upright. Somebody said, because we give it to God. You know that's a lie. Folks, I can't stand people that talk like that. I out there, I gave my heart, my time, my substance, everything I had to God. I have more than I can do with right now. I've given it away. They've hauled it away by truckfuls. We're still getting it in by truckfuls. We're still paid up to par. Everything is intact. And God has never forsaken me one time. Don't lie against the truth. You've not given it to God. See, now, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now, this ain't like the shouting service of the last time, is it? Okay, we need to get down to business. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, we're trying to do right. God don't give you a right to do a wrong to get to do right. You can't do that. See, you start right in the first place, and you do what's right. What is right? The Bible said if you don't provide for your household, you've denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. That's your first wrong. If you're willing to sacrifice as the little widow to give to God,
then he'll let you go hungry, won't he? Didn't he let the little widow go hungry? Well, what happened to the little widow? Her oil never give out, did it? The meal barrel never give out. Now, he's not the same yesterday, today, and forever, is he? There must be somebody that's not the same. Yeah, he's the same. If you do it God's way, it'll be all right, folks. See, we need to wake up, and you ladies need to wake up. If the crisis is as bad as you say it is, that you have to go to work and go to get food stamps and all these other things, like some of you, I happen to know that some of them go there and get the food stamps, and you'd be put in the penitentiary if they caught up with you. See, and you get that and you take your money and you spend your money and then you sell the stamp to get more money. Somebody can say amen. I know that. See, I happen to know by name. Now, is that right? Is that wrong? You're just doing, someone said, well, I'm just doing what everybody else does. That's what I'm telling you. Everybody else is going to hell that does that. And you're part of that. Now, do we have to thieve? Hold on to what you got, because I'm going to say some things. And we're going to get some things straight now. Somebody says, well, God has worked a great miracle. He has fixed my telephone. Though they've cut it off, we made long distance call, and we made long distance call, and we just keep on and keep on. Well, now, isn't that something to be a thief and to boast about it? Oh, no, somebody. Oh, yes. The Bible said, going through the land of Esau, you pay your way. What are you doing making long distance calls? You don't have to make no long distance call. Well, I do. Well, why don't you pay your way? Somebody said, well, I don't have the money. Well, what are you making the long distance call for? Well, I'm making it because of my job. Well, where's the money to pay the long distance call? That's the same as going out here. When you go out here and you take money from these people, or you buy things on the credit, and you don't never talk to them, you don't never call them up, you don't ever try to keep a good name, even for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't make no effort to pay your bill, to reason with them. You get their goods, and you know when you buy them, you're not going to try to do anything about it. Somebody say amen. Amen. You do the same thing with God. Somebody says, but I'm a Christian. No, you're not. You do the same thing. You come here and you get his goods. And you live on the campground. And you've done it for years. And you've lived like the devil. And went after ball games and have the love of the world in you. And heard the word of God and tried to get this message. And you still are stooped in those things in the world. And after the things of the flesh. And all you've got on your mind is that. And you never come around to these little talks. And if it hadn't have been for your children, you would have been off of this campground a long time ago. Some of you have received messages to get off of it. And I listened to you for the sake of your children. And I stayed with it till the children could get old enough, or if the women were trying to do right. And God's going to give you the sop in the end. Watch and see. You're not with us. And these that went out from us, you don't love God. I said yesterday morning or the other morning to some of them, I said, concerning a man, he don't love God. There's a fellow back there, he didn't rise up against me. But he didn't accept that. He thought, no, I know the man. He loves God. Then why don't you prove me a liar? All liars will have their part in the lake of fire. I said, he don't love God. I said, if he'd have been of us, he no doubt would have continued with us. But he went out from us that it might be made manifest he was not of us. I go by the Bible, not by what I think. You go by what you think. And that's why you're in trouble. And not only that, but why is the man sitting around watching TV programs? Why did he get him a TV and leave? Why did he say he didn't want to come back to church if he loves God? The Bible said if the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father's not there. Let's give the Lord a hand. It's your judging that's wrong, not mine. It's your ways that's not equal. It's not mine, God said. You're the one that judges wrong. All right, so if they're of us, they'll be with us. They'll stand with us. Now, folks, you take this as one that loves you. I'm your pastor. I wouldn't give you 15 cents for all you've got. God, this is the truth, so help me, God. If I die behind the sacred desk right now in division, I never saw one person that stood with me. The ones that went this way, not one of them stood with me. The ones that went this way, not one of them stood with me. Everyone. Somebody said, well, what was they doing? Wasn't they doing God's will in the vision? They were not doing God's will. Of all that I saw, they were doing what they wanted to out of zeal. I never saw one, according to the vision of what I understood, doing God's will. And all of them left me right there when I was trying to tell them which way to go. And each one of them went a different way from the way I understood they were supposed to go. Just like when I saw the vision of the people asleep. Now, did it stop me? Betty said, well, there's nothing coming in. There's no money to carry anything. No, nothing. I said, what's that got to do with it? We started this by faith. We didn't have nobody. We borrowed a pig. God built this. It's all over the world. Our ministry's still going. They're printing thousands of books. And we're getting reports from thousands of pieces of literature in different languages. And gradually, but surely, it's being published. The home front let down. Now, it let down. Why? Every person got blessed. They went into their Canaan. God give them good things because they worked here with me and helped establish something to that degree of those that were here first. And they sacrificed. And God made them rich and blessed them until they just wandered around doing their own thing and got carnal. And the mind of God separated them from faith and their blessings. See, and they went their own way. And they done their own thing. Did Bethlehem fall? No. Was Bethlehem in a mess? No. Did anybody pick up Bethlehem? No. Oh, somebody said, oh, no. Was Bethlehem going on? Absolutely. And it was a misunderstanding about the presses. I want to clear this up. That the printing room stood for 3 years and didn't run. I've never said anything like that. That's a misunderstanding. I said the presses that we got out of Texas, as to those big presses, before they really developed it and got it in shape, they let it sit there 3 years. My presses was rolling all the time. And we put out thousands upon thousands of pieces of literature. Was the bills behind? No. Is the bills behind? No. Did they get behind when everybody went their own way? No. Come on, folks. You say, well, I can prove that. You can prove it? How can you prove it? We'll get the books. Brother Taylor, do you know anything about them books? Do you? Are you sure? Are those things up to date? Is the bills up to date? Is the things of Bethlehem paid for? All right, let's give the Lord a hand. What God is doing, God has done. I want you to understand this. Always understand this. I want this clear once and for all. There's never been a man that ever come to Bethlehem that carried it. I spoke of great men that have been here, a number of them, and they've contributed. So help me God, not one of them ever carried Bethlehem. It was far beyond what they could do. And what they did was just a little bit, comparatively speaking. And many people did things. Many people. And some of them that don't get credit done more than some of them that got a lot of praise. Not one person carried it. Somebody said, well, bless God, that makes it look good for you, Brother Pike. Oh, it makes it look good for him. Hallelujah. It's like I told my wife, I never carried it. I had enough sense to know I couldn't carry it. That's why I went to God. And only you that say that you carried it is the one that don't have enough sense to know that God carried you. It's God carried you. Just like this little thing of the little writings of the footprints in the sand. When the man discovered there were just one set of footprints, he realized that God was carrying him. God carried me. And let me tell you something. No man can run this. No man has ever run this from the foundation of the world. No man will ever run this. God runs this. Brother Pike didn't run this. I went to God for the mind of God and listened as carefully as I knew how. And I've been by the whipping post and I've gotten many stripes, many times, just from making allowance that I shouldn't have made. And should have held a tighter line on things, trying to be lenient because some of you are babies and some of you are doing things. And I've bent the rules many times, trying to stay with the Word of God and not bend it. But the rules that came from this, trying to give a guideline and caused a lot of people a lot of heartaches. But I had to do it just like Jesus did when he allowed for Judas and gave him the stop in the end. And these others will find out their heartaches were for Christ and their sufferings and self-denial. And I gave this place to the brethren, not only of the local brethren, but all of the brethren throughout the world. And I told you that. And I set one as a leader over this. That was the word of God. I said, and when we can't settle it in the men's meeting, we'll take it to the word of God. And when the word of God says it, that's the way it's going to be. I believe in a woman's right in the house. I believe in the children's right in the house. I believe the children ought to say what they want to, and the woman ought to say what she wants to. That's her house. But when it comes to the final analysis, the man is the word. And when he says it, that's the way it is. And if you can't live with him and you're saying that, you need to get out from there. If he said the wrong word and it's not according to godliness, and you can't through love get him to see it, leave that man and get away from him. If you can't get him converted because you don't need to be with him. And if you stay with him, two walk together, you'll go to hell too. Now, and when we make rules and regulations, we don't make them to break them. We don't make them to violate them. Somebody says, well, have they been violated over and over and over and over, even by people that make them? Just like the law, that's when God called the law corrupt. They violate them, then they have them to pay for. And they will one day. And when I make appointments, I appoint somebody over an office. Or I appoint somebody as a lady in an office or a man, whatever it might be. And then I say, now, we've appointed these. Of course, through my wife, the lady. So, when we appoint these, I say, now, these are subject to your approval. And we bring it before our men's meeting. And you make your votes. And you legislate what you want as to your community and the way of the Lord. Isn't that right? Somebody say amen, Romy. You have a backbone. You know, you people that's got a backbone like a jellyfish, that's why things get in a mess. You won't speak up in the council, and you won't speak up in nobody's presence, and especially if it seems like a person rises up a little strong-spirited, you back off. And you're like a jellyfish. You don't have any boldness. You've never been responsible for anything good. It's men that gave their lives and stood up with a backbone that brings legislation in the White House and wherever. And if we'd had some backbone in the White House, they would have never let this sodomite be up there. If they'd been like the man that stood up over there in Cobb County, it would have been different. Now, we would have the thing stopped. He stopped it. He stood up like a man. Yeah, and see, and here's the thing. You people need to stand up. I brought this before you every time to the best of my ability. And let you legislate it. And I said, if you approve it, we keep it. If you disapprove it, we don't keep it. Now, if this is true, and if the daddy approves it, if the husband approves it, then it's all right. If he's all right. Now, if the preacher isn't all right, and the board members aren't all right, and the laity is all right, they need to get rid of the preacher, and they need to get rid of the board members. Somebody says, well, that's what we're going to do. We're just going to boycott together and decide what we want. No, not while I'm living, you're not. I might not live long. You can do what you want to. But you're going to do it according to the legislative rights of eternal abundant life. This is a non-profit organization set up for soul winning throughout the earth, to go throughout the earth. Because everybody can't come here and everybody can't belong to our organizations. And we are set here for the defense of the truth, with a liberty and justice for everyone. The gospel to every creature. And the body of Christ owns this. And they that are appointed into this are appointed with one understanding, that they take their place as an example before the flock, and to follow the way of the Bible, and to do things. And when they make their votes, and when they go about their business to legislate it, it goes into the minutes. And if Brother Taylor takes and writes down other things in the minutes, just because somebody says to write it down, Brother Taylor will not be secretary very long, and that book of minutes will be tore up, and somebody will be there to write this down according to the rules and regulations of that that's established as the federal government operation under the leadership of Almighty God, of what this country was set up under to start with, and under the rights of the brotherhood and the sisterhood. And these things will be wrote down in the minutes as a law, and will be put there as you yourself, as the body of Christ, makes the decision. And you can say amen or amen. You say, well, I'll leave. That's all right. I don't want you to. I love you. I don't want you to. I need you. But here's the thing, folks. We're not going to do this thing wrong. I am set for the defense of the truth. And I have asked you and talked to you and pleaded with you and cried and prayed and fasted, done all I know to do. See, and this thing has to be according to the Bible. It has to be according to the Word of God. No one man, no one group, no one people can take it. You understand what I'm saying? I don't want your money. I don't ask for your money. And even with the groups that we've got right now, as New Horizon and as the Covenant, I don't bother your money. You legislate, you spend it like you want to. You do what you want to. I refuse to have it. And I say you keep your money. You use it. Your brethren legislate according to your corporation, according to your directives. And you do whatever you feel to do with it for God. You set up your own operation. And then if you have something you want to give to the eternal abundant life work by faith or because you agree with your directors or your people, that's God bless you and I appreciate it. Otherwise, we go right on by faith. And we do what we're supposed to do. Now, if one is involved in this out of either one of the groups, the Horizon, the Covenant, or out of them that's not in Horizon or Covenant, or anyone that be a brother or sister, then you can be used in the Covenant, out of the Covenant, in New Horizon, out of New Horizon. Whether you be with either one of those groups or not, you still can be a child of God and you can go on providing you stay in this Bible. You are predestinated in the Word. But if you be a rebellious, contrary person that talks against the Covenant and against the New Horizon and against the Gospel and against God's people and want to be a lone ranger, as they said, in the world, I am not your shepherd. You don't belong to this work at all. You don't belong to Christ. I will not present you. I will have nothing to do with you. When I pray, I am not blessing you, and you are under a curse from morning till night. So you can just deceive yourself and go right on and do whatever you want to do. I tell you the truth. I'm set for the truth. These things I said to you are the truth. And many of these things I speak to you directly from the Bible. Know that these things are the commandments of God. Even if you think yourself to be spiritual. Now, we get this thing straight once and for all with the ladies and with the men. Because I'm always having a little group partially. Or they're having a little group over here. Partially. And we never seem to get them together except in the church. And then a lot of times, many of them aren't there still. And folks, this is the way it is. Now, this is the way it is. This is the way it was set up. This is the way it'll always be as long as I have a part in it. When you get it after me, if the Lord suffer that, you can make havoc of it. You can do what you want to. My principles are these: to visit the widows and the orphans in their afflictions. That's why I bought planes and ships, though it didn't work out like I wanted it to. To visit the widows and the orphans in their afflictions. And to keep yourselves unspotted from the world. To come out from among them. To be a separate people. Touch not the unclean things, and I'll receive you, saith the Lord. And in doing that, if you visit the orphans and the widows in their afflictions, and you keep yourself unspotted from the world, you try to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, to have faith and have His mind and understanding, that's good enough. That's good enough right there. That's all that's required of you. You are not required to do anything else to get to heaven or to have part in the work of God here and around the world. And though you'll go around the world and find out they've all got it boycotted, and you can't get in unless you do it their way. And that's all right. They got the oversight over it. But it still don't make any difference. They are wrong. And they'll answer for it in the day of judgment. They should take you at, and I know you got your process of screening. And I understand that. In a corporation, you have to screen people. And you learn their talents. You learn their abilities. You learn their skills. You learn who they are. And you put them into your organization. That's normal. And when you're trying to make a living in a commercial thing, a commercial appeal, you have to do that. If you're going to give them credit, you have to do that. Like Joe was talking about doing some things, and He's going to have to do the same thing in some things, of some things that he has to do. It's the same thing. But the thing is, when it comes to God's things, they don't have nothing to do with God's people. That is for your personal thing. And you don't base it on that to decide who is a Christian, who is not. As to what you want, or whether that fits what you desire, or what you think, and cut the others out, or receive the others, you don't do that. You don't do that. Some would like to get in, and sometimes they're not qualified. That don't disqualify them for the things of God. And you don't have any right to judge them as not being a brother. And they that are without, because they want to have a commercial enterprise and labor and give more of their time and their substance to God, God will bless them abundantly. And if they do that, then you don't have a right of being outside just because you don't agree with them and don't fit their program to condemn them and say that they are blasphemous and they're evil and that they're out of the will of God. They can be right in the will of God 100%. So I'm telling you, once again, very few in covenant's going to make it unless they do something. And very few out of covenant's going to make it unless they do something. Very few that is joining up with the New Horizon as it was back here a good while ago, you're going to find the same thing. Just few is going to make it. So these things are clear. My heart is clear. It's up to you to do with this whatever you want to do with it. It's your word. The Bible said spare any of them and they'll be a prick in your side. And I know that some of you delight in things. There was a letter written, and it was written to David, Paul, and to two of his board members, and also to Brother Taylor. And this letter was written by a troublemaker. Oh no, somebody says, but Brother Pike, don't you remember when I wrote that letter? I never come against you. Don't you remember what I said about our good founder and all these kind of things? Don't try to overthrow me with flattery. He was striking at the shepherd. That was Satan striking at the shepherd. If you'd have been a man of God, if you'd been a woman of God, or the right thing, and I believe there's a woman and a man involved in this, you'd have come to me as a shepherd, and you'd have told me those discrepancies. Or you'd have went to David, Paul, and you'd have told him those discrepancies like a man. Or you would have called a brotherhood meeting, and you'd have had a vote, and then you would express your peace. But you know what you did? You complained about the wages. And you complained about a half a dozen different things that appeared in the early part, which meant your wife or a woman or somebody had taught and helped start this thing. And you remember this. There's a woman here that helped start this thing and got this thing rolling and then dropped into the background. And a man here that because of his ministry mumbled and grumbled so much, he helped get the snowball rolling and then dropped out because he got scared and tried to straighten up. And he and his wife has been a troublemaker continual in this. And now got it started. And there's others that's come in that's troublemakers that don't have the Spirit of God. And a lot of them try to flatter me. At the latter part of that letter, you viciously, out of revenge, attacked David Paul openly. And the things you said, you tried to provoke him, saying that, I don't think you'll read this letter before the audience. When that letter came to me, when Brother Taylor presented it, they didn't write me a letter. When he presented it, I said, Betty, there's one thing for sure. They don't understand David Paul. And when David Paul got the letter, it tore him up so bad, he said, I'll read it before the whole church. I said, no. I said, that's exactly what the devil wants. He said, well, I'll be glad to read it before the men's meeting. I said, no. There's a better way to do it. I said, not give that man that satisfaction. Because the man said, and when you read it, I don't believe you will, but when you read it, I'll stand up. That is, after I pollute their minds, sway the brethren, cause them to think the wrong things about leadership, and get them all fuddled up in their minds, then I'll stand up because I'll feel protected. You hypocrite. Oh no, Brother Pike. You wait till you find out. I said, you hypocrite. If you'd like to step out of here, I'd like to take it to the stage. Now, let me tell you something. These men have given their lives to God, and they're laboring day and night, and I talk with them early in the morning when you're still asleep, many of you, and when I don't ever see you, them in covenant together around. And I tutor them every morning practically, either here or at the cabin somewhere. And they're giving their lives and giving their time. And though I scold their wives, some of them, because of this, and some of them ain't their wives, they're your wives too, that you're supposed to be making plenty of money, your wives still running after the world. See, and that was a violation of the rule of the campground. For you to leave here, that's room enough to move you off the campground, which would make somebody happy. They could quit wearing the long dresses, and the women do what they want to and have their career, and some of you men will be happy anyway. Now, but David Paul has given his life to this sincerely from his heart. And I believe with all my heart that most any of the men would tell you that. I believe that they would tell you if you took them one at a time. And it's only the man that is a coward that will do what they've done in that letter. If it had been a real man, he'd never done it. So I perceive that probably he would not have stood up if the letter had been read. But if he would have, it would have been good so everybody could have seen the coward. Let me tell you, when a man wants to make merchandise out of another man and raise himself up to put that man down, or put him down to raise himself up and make merchandise to stand up like that in a crowd, after that, they have blasted him that way, he ain't no man. You understand? If you believe in truth, openly state truth before the people and stand up like a man and let them see you and write your name down on the bottom if you send a letter and don't sign it, disappointed. It said disappointed. When I read or had that read, I thought, now isn't that right? You never was appointed to do that. Just like disallowed, God disappointed that to start. There was no appointment from God to that. And they said, we know you'll count this as the enemy. Brother, we don't have to count that as the enemy. You are a brother, a false brother, unless you come forth and get that thing straightened out with an apology and tell people of your foolishness openly and receive the blessings of the brotherhood. You are disappointed and you will get the sop. And your mind is on money because you criticized everything that they've done to make it an open show and tried to fix it to where you could appear at the end of the little reading and be a great hero that you had stood for these people who had been so badly mistreated. Where is your brilliance? Where is your boldness? Where is your manhood? Why don't you walk up here? Come on, folks. Somebody said, well, I got boldness to do it, somebody said. I believe it when I see it. When I see it, I'll confess it. Until I see it, then I'll wonder about your boldness. When you step up here and let me see you and make your confession, then I'll do you just like you've done in the letter. You said, then I'll make it known. I said, all right, you confess it. And then when you confess it, then I'll make it known. You have stood like real people. When the police pounced on you, you stood like real people. And I tried to stand with you. And when diseases and problems and everything else come, you stood like real people. And folks, the crisis come when the finance wasn't very great, but you stood like real people. And when I stumbled, you stood with me. And when David stumbled, you stood with him. And when you stumbled, we stood with you. And we're still standing with you. And if the man that wrote that letter had known David's nature like he should have, if he had labored with David like he said, he'd have never wrote that letter, because he would have known, and you know, that David Paul will go straight to that man. If he knew where he was, he'd been looking for him. And to my brother here that came up, I told you the truth, and I have nothing to say about it, but I'm just saying the letter that was wrote, whoever that came from, it remains like I said. As to the other brother, I talked to him the other night. And when he came up, I have to admit, it was very surprising to me because I had not connected him with the letter. I just talked with him and we just had good fellowship. But if it be that, it was, like I said, it was Satan that done what he did to the brother sitting right out here on my bench. And I told the others. And that's where the problem come, and I'm going to tell you something else. It's just like I warned you. When you get to reasoning in your mind against the man of God, or you think you know more than the man of God when it's God speaking, and you got this thing figured out, it's not only that will happen to you, but 10 times as bad will happen to you. Because he didn't know all that much about these things. And it happened to him, and it'll happen to you. And I say that with all love and respect. So then, I'm still waiting, and I'm going to take a few minutes, and then I'm going to close. But I hope you'll do one thing for me. Should this letter be read, and it may not, but should we see fit to read the letter, then I want every one of you that when that man stands up to consider him in the light of what I said. And folks, if you think I'm wrong about it, you need to have a backbone and tell Brother Pike right now. Otherwise, you need to let that fella be marked. The Bible said, mark them that cause division among you and have no fellowship with him. And you need to let that fella be marked as a troublemaker. Let him be marked. You understand what I'm saying? And you need to stand as one unit and one brotherhood and work together as a great and mighty army of the God of heaven. Seeing eye to eye, speaking the same thing, not breaking ranks. And when this fella stands up, which I don't believe he'll do, he said he didn't believe that it'll be read. I don't believe he'll stand up. But if he does stand up, God bless your hearts. I want you to tell him how you speak. I want every one of you, before he gets out of that building, to stand on your feet and turn to him and say, look, we stand together as a unit, as one spokesman speak. We want you to know that you're not of us and we have no part with you. And the sooner you get away from here, the better off you'll be. Let me say, I'm going to let you go in just a few minutes. I'll let you go. And you that if a sister, if you are married to him, you hear my words. If you are married to that man and you're private of that, or if you are a relative and you know that and you're private to it and you don't expose that thing, while this thing is being brought abroad, even as he might expose it and save himself from this, if you don't expose it, you are guilty with him. And whatever his punishment is, you're going to receive the same punishment because two can't walk together lest they be agreed. So if you know anything about it, then this puts you on the spot for you to tell it. Somebody says, well, I think you're putting me on the spot, Brother Pike. I certainly am. I certainly am. We're going to have a wholesome body. The brother that came to be saved the other day, his name is Wholesome. I said, Betty, I see something in that. So then we're going to have a redeemed body and we're going to have people coming together. We're not going to have all these things among us and have these things tore up all the time and people tore up all the time. We are they that cannot be shaken. God said, I'll shake everything that be shaken. You are they that love the Lord. And you can't be shaken. You stand like a real man and a real woman. If you have grievances, if you don't agree with the Brother Pike, if you don't agree with the Brother David, if you don't agree with the brethren and the sisters, stand up like a real person and tell them you don't agree with them. I said something here a few months ago, and I said, why don't you stand up? Why don't you stand up? I said, you're bawling like a teapot, as we would say, or in some other words, as to the same. And the man finally stood up. I did it to force him to stand up. You know why I did that? Because the man was guilty of the things that I was saying and was hiding it under a hypocritical thing of the polished ethics of protecting those, and he was one with them and walked with them and was the same thing with them out of the presence of his wife and the presence of his relatives, and come here with tears and would put his arms around me and flatter me and tell me how much he loved me and was standing with me and was lying all the time. And I forced him to stand up, and you know what happened? They caught him in the same. All right. Forgive me, folks, if I'm preaching a little bit. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Turn my people from their sins. All right. We love one another. Do you love one another? All right. Let's. I ain't going to ask you if you love the shepherd. We'll wait a little later on that. But let's pray. I waited to kind of simmer down a little bit. I appreciate that. I knew that was the attitude you had. I knew you did. I'm just going on at you a little bit. I know that. I love you, and I know you love me. And I know we'll spend eternity together. I know that. And though I scold you sometimes, I wouldn't hurt you for nothing in the world. Let's just sing a little chorus or two together. I can tell you're one unit, you're one spirit, and you're going to be blessed. You're going to be blessed. Take your reproof now, like a real person. And the Bible said repent. Be quick to repent. Repent. And when you're quick to repent, then God will bless you. Turn around and say, Lord, chastisement is grievous for the moment, but I know that afterwards it's going to yield the peaceful fruits of righteousness. And go on, and God's going to bless you. Now, whatever you do with your life, it don't matter. Work on a job if you want to. Don't work on a job if you don't want to. Whatever. Some people have faith for one thing, some faith for another thing. One measure, a greater measure. But do one thing. Stay with the Bible. Amen. Stay with the Bible. Because you're going to be sorry if you don't. Keep the campground purged. Get them out from among you. Purge out the old leaven. Be a new lump. Let them grow together in the world. Get them out of the church. Get them out from among you. A little leaven will leaven the whole lump, and one rotten limb will kill the whole tree, and the life will depart from the whole tree. So don't allow them to be among you. If a person, that be a brother or sister, if they be called a brother or sister, and they be an adulterer and a fornicator, don't so much as eat with them. I don't care if it's your child, whoever it is, if they profess Christianity, don't you so much as eat with them. Jesus ate with the sinners and the publicans, the fornicators, but he did it in them out yonder that was in the world. And you are out there among them, and you might sit down in the same cafe. But when somebody says they are a brother or sister, and they're covering up things, and they're going on an adultery, don't you so much as eat with them. Don't you bid them Godspeed in anything, and they're grumbling or mumbling, or you partakers. Don't you receive them in your house to give them a place to stay, or you are partakers. Don't you help them on their way by giving them an offering or an amen or a consolation? Or don't you set a light by them? That's setting a light by the dead. They're dead in trespasses and sin. And God said, I'll burn your fields for it. You don't tell them they're all right because they're not all right. And these churches that's telling them they're all right, God's going to burn their fields. You tell them like it is. Don't call darkness light. Don't set a light there. You say, no, you're dead in trespasses and sin. So when we have this one mind and one accord, everything's going to be all right. All right, let's sing a little chorus. I'm sorry if I kept you too long. I didn't mean to do it, but these things are bad. And people, the Bible said there's some mouths that need to be stopped. They go about subverting whole households. They get it home and eat their cookies and drink their coffee and have their little meetings and people out of the different neighborhoods and different states and relatives. And they sit around in a ha-ha and a laugh and a talk, watch their little movies and do all these little things. Those things that spoil their vines. And then they get just as carnal-minded as they can be from these natural carnal things and natural carnal peoples and religion. And then they come into my place here to try to be vomit on this table. And folks, we don't want vomit on this table. And they are a thorn in my flesh. And I'm not going to spare any of them. I intend to get rid of them. Their mouth needs to be stopped. And you need to stand with one another and stand with me. And when they see you, they should see me. When they see me, they should see you. When a man sees a woman, he should see that man. When they see the man, they should see that woman. They're one flesh. If they don't see it, then there's somebody that's in hypocrisy, somebody's deceitful, somebody's not straight, and your companionship is not valid in the sight of God. All right, remember, you commit adultery in your thoughts. Let's sing together. We're one body, we're one unit, we're one spirit, we're one mind, we have one goal, we're being translated in. The door is being shut. All of this is to make sure that you're on the inside. And after a while, it's going to break forth like it is right here in this place. Somebody yesterday sent the young brother out saying that I understood that this is what they said. Some of them communicated with him later and said that they said there's power at that place. Out there is deliverance. And so the young brother came. And then I heard as of today, a woman that's in business over in Monroe talking to my daughter, or called her and said there was somebody came into my place and was inquiring about y'all's place and said this man is a Methodist preacher and said he wants to know what's going on out there and said he's heard that they preach it straight out there like it is and he don't feel like they're doing that in his church or allow them to preach it. And he wants to come out here. So they're beginning to find out that they need to trim their wicks. And you're being shut in all the time. Methodist, Baptist, Catholic, Presbyterian, all of them has come. Isn't that right? All of them has come. They've come from all around the world. They've come from all kind of denominations. You just stand like a great mighty tree. You're rooted. The wind won't get you. Let's sing together. I am going to let you go. Don't grow discouraged. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Precious Spirit, sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete. Do you feel his strength? Do you feel his strength? How many feel his strength? Do you feel his security? Do you feel his love? Can you trust him? All right, let's sing. Can you? One more time. For I've anchored my soul in God's heaven. Doth rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am saved evermore. Come in to my heart. Let him in now. Come in. I'm going to ask Brother Richard Stafford to come and dismiss us. While Richard comes to dismiss us, I want you to consider the things that I've said this morning. And I want you to lift your hands up to God. And I want you to lift your hearts up to God and close your eyes. And I want you to take just a minute or two as our brother come to worship the Lord. And after that, as you go out to eat and drink, be wise. Satan is after you. Watch and pray. Be sure to watch. Watch everybody, everything. Watch words. Watch conversations. Don't get corrupt. See, pray. Pray. Pray, always pray, that you might be accounted worthy to escape the things that's coming on the earth. See, pray, put the Lord before you. See, lift your hands, close your eyes, and worship the Lord. Examine yourself. See if you're in the faith of the Word. Many will depart from the faith in the last days, which means won't receive the Word. And there'll be a famine for the hearing of this Word. So today, you're God's children. You're God's children. Receive God. Receive the Holy Ghost. When you receive the Spirit of the Word, that's Christ. That's the Holy Ghost. Somebody says, I've never received the Holy Ghost, Brother Pike. Why is it you've not received the Holy Ghost? Because you haven't received the Word. The Word is the Holy Ghost. That's the Spirit of Christ. When He comes, He'll testify of the Word. And when you receive it, somebody says, but I heard it. I believed. In your intellectual, you did. But see, that's not enough. With your lips, you confess me. But with your heart, it's far from me. With the heart, man believes. That's divine conception. And when you take this word and you believe this word, then that means you'll do what it says. And your faith will be shown by your deeds. It'll become interwoven in your life, your lifestyle. That blood will be in there, making your blood royal blood. And that spirit, your spirit. See, it'll change into Christ's spirit. And your mind as to Christ's mind. See, you'll conceive of that when you believe the word and you say, I believe that message. I'm going to practice that message. That's the truth. That's eternal life. And I'm going to make it my life and my spirit and my lifestyle. That's the Holy Ghost. He'll come into your heart, and the spirit of that word will come into your heart. And my, you'll be different from what you've ever been in your life. You'll leave those little frivolous things off as the little foxes that spoil your vines. You'll want to wear long dresses as the ladies. You'll want to have a good heart and a pure heart and a virtuous mind. And you'll want to do the things of God. And you wouldn't spit on that career or all them things that's alluring you to have money to buy the little 15-cent tinklets out in the world. And to gossip and to backbite. And you brethren will find better things to talk about than the foolishness of joking. One more time. I need Thee, Lord. I need Thee.